Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everyone. We're here tonight and Tuesday night. Good to be with you. Another Life Prophetic Talk Show where we actually do it more than we talk about it. That is ministered to you personally. So if you need some of that ministry tonight, we're here for you. And especially on Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights is our most favorite night where we get to prophesy to everybody. So call in on Wednesdays and we'll not do any talking during the show after we start ministering, that is. And then we'll go from person to person without much talk. All right, sometimes we talk at all, most of the time. Just letting you know. So set your schedule, get it in there for a Wednesday, and get ready for something great to happen. God to speak to you somehow or another. And if you're going to love it, all right? 319-527-6737. Yeah, I didn't remember the number there. All right, so you tonight. All right, hang on a minute, I'll be right there. All right, welcome to the place, and we're here to bring it on in and try to get you to hear something from the Lord that will encourage you, build you up, maybe give you some direction of some kind, and kind of lead you a little bit, at least point you the right direction. God wants you to learn to walk by faith, so that's the main thing that he wants to do is learn, teach us how to walk by faith. So we don't want anyone to be addicted in the wrong way, just addicted in the right way. When you get addicted to something that is good for you, like food is, you know, when you don't have food, you die. When you have water, you die. So you got to have those things. So when God feeds us, you know, it's kind of like call it addiction, you call it a need. God has made us to need ministry and to need the word to keep us built up. So there's all kinds of different words that come forth from God. Some are directly from the Bible and teaching. Some of it is prophetic revelation. Some of it is prophecy. 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul to Timothy. He said, listen, Timothy, I command you to go listen to those prophecies about you personally. Recall them so that you can fight a really good fight. So we see how important that is. It's amazingly important. It's not really been taught much. I don't know how I missed that scripture all those years, but I think I got it finally. And, you know, yeah. So there's some new wine being poured out by the Holy Spirit, and God is trying to lead us and guide us and show us. A lot of it is like kind of like new wine in a sense. It's a new thing. And those that are used to the old don't really like the new. Not that any of these scriptures are new, but the way we're starting to see them, I don't know about you, but that was new to me. 1 Timothy 1:18 was, I mean, it's been the Bible all these years, and yet I never even saw it. Don't know how I missed it. Wasn't sure what I was thinking, but it was new because it's new wine. It's a new understanding on how we drink from the fountains, you know, of God. And so there you go. Really, really interesting. All right. So thank you for being here tonight. We're going to try to drink of the wine of the Spirit, drink of the new wine. You know, the Bible says in Luke 5:39, no man having drunk old wine, in other words, the old thing, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. That's what a lot of people do. They get used to the old, and this is literally Luke, in the Bible, Luke 5:39, but Jesus is talking here, and he's saying that, you know, no man having drunk old wine immediately desires new. It's kind of a thing, you know. Isn't it amazing how in the spirit realm things are the same as they are in the natural? I mean, as far as drinking, the spiritual thing is in the natural realm, people drinking old wine like the old wine better, you say? I mean, that's what this is saying. So back in those days, wine was a common thing. And he says the old wine, people liked it better, right? I don't know what was better about it, but They said it was better. And I believe Jesus, right? He says, no one immediately desires the new wine, saying the old wine is better. Same thing in the spirit realm. You know, you have to keep, when you have new wine ministry, you have to realize that people at first are going to get, they're going to like the old better. That's just the way it is. Get used to people liking the old better at first. Now, you keep serving it, pretty soon they're going to go, well, let me try this. And so they'll try it, and eventually they'll get a hold of it. But let's look at that scripture a little bit more. Maybe that's where we need to go tonight. Let's see. Let's go look at this just for a moment. Get it up there. Let's go to Luke. Luke. Let us do 5. Luke. There's a lot of verses in it. Okay, very cool. Luke 5, verse 39. Let's go there and look at this for a second. I don't know how we're going to look at it exactly. I wrote the scripture down today because it just kind of caught my attention. Wasn't sure exactly what it meant, but what it was have to do with tonight. But all right, verse 39. He says, kind of the end of the chapter here, actually the very last verse. He said, he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, right? Because the new shrinks when the other is already shrunk, right? Because it's been worshipped. So if you put a new patch on something, it'll tear. And so also the piece that was taken out of the new doesn't match the old. Ooh, that's a good one. I don't remember seeing that. And also the piece that was taken out of the new doesn't match the old. Right, because it's been washed a few times and the new hasn't been. Okay, we may get on this later. I'll see what comes on. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But the new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. And that is the chapter, right? It's the red letter version is Jesus talking. So very, very interesting there how he's talking about wine, like you think he was a drinker or something. That was the way that in that day, that was, you know, wine was a common drink that you drank. The water was not good. Paul the Apostle even said, Paul said that, a little wine for your belly, good for you. You know, because don't drink the bad water. Kind of the same situation we have today, except now we can get good water, right? Thank God for that. But here we go. So I don't know who that's for tonight, but if you're, kind of getting a little restless because people don't seem to be liking the new wine going on, just get used to it. You have to give it a little time and give people a chance to get the new. And to begin to get a taste for it, right? And once they do that, then it'll be a different thing. All right. So when you put new wine into an old wineskin, old wineskin is already stretched out, right? Or also the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled. Right. So, very interesting. I know we've talked about this off and on over the years. And I'm not sure why I'm talking about it tonight. Somebody needs that. I'm not sure if it's confirmation for your what it is about that. But mixing the old with the new, it's just putting, in this particular case, putting something new in something old doesn't work. So if you're trying to put something new into your old thinking, like when we get new thinking going on, when you go higher, when you go from the first grade to the second grade, from the second grade to the 12th grade, everything changes. And, right. So, So when you're trying to put something new into something old, so somebody needs to hear this tonight. If you're trying to put something new into something old, they're not going to get it. It'll blow their mind and it'll all spill out and it'll be, you just wish you'd never given it, right? So we need new wineskins. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I used to think I understood all this, but right now I'm going to look at it like I don't know anything. All right. So anyway, this is really what's going on. We're going to find that a lot of people are not going to like the new. They are not going to like the new way of approaching things. Like, you know, and see, here's what happens in the Word of God. It happens with me at least, is that over the years, you know, I've read the Word and read the Word and read the Word and read the Word. And knew nothing about the Word. It was the first time I've ever read it. First time that I ever, you know, partook of the Word of God. I just began to study it on my own with a concordance, which is what I was told to do. So I was doing my best, right? Seeking God. And so a lot of the understanding that we had back then, you know, and so my old way of thinking, you know, about doctrines and different things that were just passed down to me, and they were, you know, were right at the time. And because I didn't know how to let the Holy Spirit take me by the hand and guide me and lead me. So so now when I go to the Word of God, somehow God has made me new. He's prepared me and broken me, I guess, to where I'm able to receive new wine into a new wineskin, into a new way of thinking. Because it took me a little bit of time to change, to let God change some things that I didn't know were not right in my life. Doctrinally, biblically, but he, little by little, he took me by the hand. He said, you know, I know you've been taught this. I know the good people that taught you were really good people. They were really sincere. They thought they knew, you know, and they told you, but you know what? I'm going to take you by the hand. I'm going to teach you Paul the Apostle. I wish I could be more like went out into the desert for 3 years, the scripture says. He was out in the desert, y'all, for 3 years. Why? Because he was used to the old. He was under the law. In the old, and now Jesus knocked him off his horse, and obviously he got saved. A pretty rough treatment was going to be knocking off his horse, and then he accepted Jesus as Messiah. And so he goes out in the wilderness, and all he's full of is the old way of understanding things, the old way of looking at things, and not necessarily what he believed. Everything he believed was wrong. But it's that once the law was fulfilled, you know, then the fact that Jesus fulfilled the law meant that now we've got a new wineskin, right? A new container, and it's going to be filled with new understanding. In other words, the old is going to change. It's the same thing that happened to me in some ways as far as the doctrines that I believed over the years. I think most of them are okay. You know, pretty good, pretty solid, you know, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that's it on that one. But there were some other things that, you know, how to get born again, what all that meant, and the truth about being born again, that I really didn't have personal revelation on. So I think personal revelation is God showing you what he wants you to know about those scriptures instead of what you've been taught by others. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father has put it into a new wineskin. You know, Peter was being told that Jesus was the Christ. You know, that was a new thing for him from the Father. Men had been telling him that. So a lot of things that men have told you, even though some of them might have been, you know, correct information, correct doctrines, but are they yours? See, until they become yours, I think I'm starting to get this now. I knew we were supposed to go for a reason. So what's that new thing like that when Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood is not revealed, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. That was a new thing for him. It was brand spanking new. And yet he'd been hanging out with Jesus for, you know, about 3 years, 2.5, 3 years. And before that, he was a good Jew, heard a lot of good Jewish teachings, you know, from a lot of good rabbis, and probably heard a lot of good truth, a lot of speculation on what things mean, which most people do when they, you know, in prophecy and the prophecy realm about what Daniel meant, what Jeremiah meant, all that. Everybody's a little bit different look at it, but as long as they stay basically in the truth of it, it's okay. But God is saying, you know, I want you to go beyond the old. The old meaning the way men have taught you, and though some of it may be good, most of it may be good. It may all be good, maybe. Now, God wants to reveal it to you. So when God reveals it to you, he doesn't put it in with the old because it won't mix with the old. Peter tried to mix his new, oh, I'm getting this now. Peter mixed his new, what was his new? Well, what was the brand new they got from the Father? Flesh and blood have not revealed to my Father that he was the Christ, that Jesus was the Christ. So that's a new thing that God the Father gave him. What did he mix it with? He mixed it with the old. And the old rabbi said, when the Messiah comes, he will rule from the throne of David. In other words, he's not going to go to the cross. He's going to live and rule on the throne of David. So that's the way they believe. But that was old. In other words, it wasn't, they didn't have full revelation. That was for like the time of the millennium, you know, basically. That's what that was for, which is the future. We still aren't even there yet. And yet they believe that when Jesus, when the Messiah came, whoever the Messiah was, that he would rule the throne of David. So therefore that was an old thing taught by old, you know, by from an old perspective. And now the Holy Spirit gave, God the Father gave him a new understanding. Gave, not that he hadn't heard it already from people, but now God is telling him. What does that mean? That's the new wine, friend. The new wine is the revelation of God revealing to you things. So when you mix the old with the new, what happens? When you try to put the new in the old, it's going to blow your mind. You know, it was some of the things that I've learned. I couldn't pack that up in my old mind the way I thought. I had to totally change the way I thought. And when you do, God opens up the scripture to you. The scripture becomes plain. It becomes powerful. It becomes simple. And now you've got new wine in a new wineskin. In other words, God put it in a new wineskin in you. He didn't put it in your old way of thinking, your old mind, to mix with the old. So what did Peter do? He mixed the old of the and all the rabbis that taught that when the Messiah comes, that, like I said earlier, he would be the he would rule the throne of David. In other words, he wouldn't go down the cross. So what was Peter doing? He was mixing that he was the Messiah. Now he knows from the Father that he's the Messiah. But how does he interpret the Father, the Father's new message to him? He interprets it through the old. So what happened? That got all spilled out. It got messed up. He even denied Jesus later on. Because I think part of the reasoning was that he wasn't, he believed more, even though he had that revelation from the Father, he was still into thinking, you know, and savoring or had a taste bud for the old, because the old tastes better. Why? Because he had gotten used to it. Are y'all getting, this is, y'all, I just stepped out on the boat. I was trying to run away from this when I got in here, and now I'm starting to see God is trying to open us up to something. I hope you're able to hear this with me tonight, because I think this is something that we need to understand. We're trying to mix old things that we got from our forefathers, wonderful as they are, godly as they were. You know, they didn't have it all together, right? I mean, they would probably tell you, we don't have it all together. Now, the things they thought they had, but maybe they didn't. Maybe not. So who do we need to teach us? We need the Father to teach us, friend. And when the Father teaches you, it becomes new wine, and he doesn't mix it with the old skin, with the old flesh. Ooh, the old flesh, the old skin. Man, we're getting hot on this tonight. He didn't mix it with the old skin, the old flesh, right, in your old brain, in your old way of thinking. He put it in some new skin, in some new thinking, in a new way of looking at things. Wow. And when he did that, and then then Peter, of course, mixed it up together, what did he come up with? The wrong interpretation. So God had actually showed him those things, and yet he still denied the Lord because he like Jesus said, he said, Peter, you savor not the things of God, but the things of man. So he was trying to say, hey, God already spoke to you, and I know that new wine was brand new, and you seem to have a savor, a flavor, a taste bud for the old, the things of men, the things that men have taught you. I told you, Peter, that God told you I was the Messiah, but you've taken the old. You've taken the old and mixed it with the new. So, friend, if he did it, I know we do it, and we've talked about this a lot. I think this is extremely important for people to understand that you can do this. I can do that. We can all do it. And God wants us to know that we can all do it, right? So he wants us to know that we cannot take our old understandings and try to mix it in with the new thing God is doing. And here's a really big reason why this is important, because the times and the seasons that we're in, everything's changing into what we've talked about for years, into being that time. In other words, everybody's talked about what it's going to be like. You ever talked to somebody about when you were a kid, what it would be like to be married? Oh, when I get married, it's just going to be so wonderful. And my, you know, I'm just going to wait on the man I love and the woman I love. It's going to be so awesome. And you talked about it and you dreamed about it. And then you got married and you're going like, yeah, threw about half of it out the window, maybe. I don't know. Maybe all of it. Maybe just a little bit of it. I don't know. Right? Because you dreamed it. But when it came right to it, when you actually got married and you start living that relationship, you find out it's work. Number one, it's fun work. But if you're in love, it's a great thing. But it's work. It's different. It's not all ooey-gooey like we dream of. So is it in the prophetic realm. We have dreams through scriptures, a lot of it misinterpreted, from our past teachers who have taught us these things, and we have dreamed of what the, you know, put our interpretations into what the future would be like under, you know, is the church going anywhere? Is it going to be raptured, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, whatever, all this stuff. You know, what it's going to be like during the Great Tribulation, what's going to be like during the Tribulation, what it's going to be like for the first 3.5 years, what's going to be like the last 3.5 years. And just dreaming and thinking we know all the answers to it, just like we know when we're a kid, we're, you know, in high school, maybe we just know we're going to have the right husband, the right wife. We're going to have the right everything, the right job. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. And then you get married, you find out that, you know, you can't go by. You can't mix that old, even though some of the dreams, if God gives you a dream about something, that's different. But even then, we can dream about it wrongfully. I think Joseph dreamed about his dreams wrongfully. He dreamed he was going to be in Canaan land, being the best, you know, productive businessman in the family, and he wasn't. He ended up being the best businessman in all of Egypt, really. And so he totally misunderstood what he dreamed, the dreams of God, with the wrong kind of, you know, understanding. And so what God is saying, I've never had revelation on the scripture until tonight. I'm beginning to get a little bit about this, that no one puts new wine into old wineskin. In other words, you can't put, Peter couldn't put, thou art the Christ, given to him from the Father, and mix it with the old wine, the old teachings, the old revelation, which was biblical, but it wasn't, the timing was off. So therefore it messed up everything. So now the reason it's really important to know that we're getting the wine from the Father into new wineskins instead of trying to put it into the old, under old teachings. You know, some of the old teachings, God may confirm, yes, that's God, but it's going to be God telling you that. Some of the old things you learned from your pastors and teachers and all the people you respected, you know, half of that, maybe three quarters of it, maybe all of it, maybe you're right. But you know what? You're going to get it from the Father. In other words, you're going to see it completely different because now it's going to be yours. It's going to be in you. You're going to have new wine in your new wineskin, right? And therefore, you're going to look at everything completely. You're going to be walking up to your pastors and who talked to you years ago and say, man, pastor, did you know that this and did you know that that and did you know this? And he's going like, yeah, son, daughter, I've been teaching that stuff to you since you were, you know, in Sunday school. The same thing. And you go like, okay. I don't know. Anyway, let me tell you about this. Because now, friend, it's yours. It's yours. It's your wine. It's God has given it to you fresh and new. It's not something people taught you and then you put it in your mind and begin to dream about what it meant like in the future, or dream what it would be like when the Messiah comes, you know. And so when he came, it was all mixed up. It was all messed up. And the way Peter dreamed about it, even after he got revelation from the Father, the issue was that he mixed the old wine and wineskin with the new wine. Wow. Wow. And what happened? It spills out. What happened to Peter? Man, Darren, when he denied the Lord, it all spilled out. Every bit of it spilled out. All right, so we had to start over again. So anyway, I think that's kind of what that's saying. I'm starting to get a little bit of understanding tonight. As you can tell, I'm kind of like going, okay, Lord, anything else? You know, I'm chewing the cud. I eat it, talk about it. I chew it again and again and again and repeat it several times, which I think is kind of like, just be patient with me on that, because that's the way I chew the cud here publicly. Because most of the things that we get into are spontaneous. So therefore, I hear them and I chew them, and then I re-chew them and re-talk about it again and again and again. The same thing. Believing God to give new revelation on it. So I know I do repeat myself a lot. I've been listening to a lot of a lot of the old shows, getting recording, documenting things, And man, you know, sometimes it depends on what's going on. I'm repeating things several times. I didn't realize I did it that much. I'm like, okay, Lord, help me out here. Let's get this thing doing a little better. So we're working on that. And all right, good to be here tonight. So hopefully you're all doing good. And if you're not, hopefully we can pray for you or minister to you. Now, like I said, Wednesdays is the night that we minister to every person. If you're calling in tonight, it's the only night you can call in. If I miss you, I'm really sorry. You just contact me and text me and let me know that you're there and that you have, you're waiting, and maybe it's the only time you can be ministered to, so we can do that. All right. Let me know about that. 214-505-8719. All right. Give me a second. Get a prayer request. Will you please pray for Zena tonight? Yes, please don't let me forget about that. I will do that. All right. Really good. That was Tanisha asked me to pray for Zena. We will do that here. Just please don't let me forget. I'm still not quite finished here. I'm trying to, you know, chew the cud a little bit on this thing. I just wrote that scripture down today because it stuck out to me, but I really never really got into much personal revelation about the new wine as far as personal. I share things that other people have taught, but I've never had anything new about it. Friend, I'm telling you, this mixing the new with the old, I mean, I think we all do that. I think we struggle with, you know, we take something God tells us, which God told Peter, God Almighty himself told Peter that his son was the Christ. I mean, and Jesus recognized it, and yet he still, you know, was messed up. I mean, the dude had issues, just like we all did, and with things. He denied the Lord later on and on because I think he was mixing the old and the new together. He took what the Father gave him, which was brand new for him, not new to his mind. Right, because Jesus had told Peter that he was the Christ and told all of them that he was the Christ several times, right? Done that several times. But when the Father told him, Jesus said, flesh and blood had not revealed to him. Well, Peter's going, like, yeah, you told me many times, Lord. What are you saying? Because the Father gave it to him personally, and it became brand spanking new. So we got to ask God to show us how to not mix the things that God has shown us for today, for now, especially with the times that we're in. We need to know where we're at, whether there is a pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. We need to know that stuff. I know that didn't used to be important because it's so far in the future. Who cares? Would it all pan out? We'll all believe God. But now there's a whole different thing going on. Now we are not going to be wondering, you know, people are going to be wondering, they're going to look around and go, man, we should have been raptured out by now. And they're not going to be raptured out. And it's going to scare them. It's going to cause a lot of problems. We must be ready for that. We've got to be ready for that stuff. So please, let's let the Holy Spirit, let's let the Father show us what Scripture means. You know, sure, you hear it from me, you hear it from others. You read books and different things and get, you know, listen to shows, YouTube, whatever you listen to, and you can hear all kinds of things. But the important thing is, what I'm seeing about this tonight is that the new wine and new wineskin, which will not burst. Because when you get new information, the new information Peter got about Jesus from the Father was brand new, though he'd been told it many times. It was brand new because now it was his. So when he mixed what was his from the Father, mixed it with the rabbis, what men gave, that's why Jesus said, when Peter rebuked him and said, you can't die, Lord. You know, we're not going to happen to you. He said, that's when he told Peter, he said, you are more concerned, you have more of a taste bud, flavor, your taste buds are more tend to go with what men say than with what the new wine says. Because it says the old wine is, many times they will say that the old wine is new. I mean, the old wine is new. The old wine tastes better, right? No one will, having drunk the old wine, immediately desires the new. For he says the old is better. And that's what we do. You know why the old is better? Because we have wholeheartedly and our mind, spirit, soul, body, we have believed it. We believe what we were told. We got all the scriptures to prove it, we think. You know, until the Holy Spirit comes in and says, you know what, I'm gonna teach you something here. I'm gonna show you some stuff. And we cannot, and the more we mix the new wine or the revelation directly from the Father with what people have said about, now what the people have, what they said was right. Like Jesus told Peter the right thing, I'm the Messiah. But when the Father showed him, that's when it became new. Right? So what the Father reveals is not about what people have taught you, though it may be the exact truth, but now it wasn't just you just getting it in your mind, your intellect, and going, yeah, I like that. I like the taste of that. But it's you getting it in your it's now yours. The Father shows it to you. The Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Wow. Y'all, I'm chewing this a little bit. You know, let me chew the cud just a little bit. I mean, chew it up, spit it, swallow it, spit it back up, and chew it again. Like chewing the cud, just give me a little chance to do that because I think we might learn some things. Yeah, and look at this above this. I'm going to just stay with you just for a minute longer. If you're on the scripture there, Matthew, Matthew. Yeah, Luke. I'm sorry, Luke 5. Luke 5. Look at the rest of this. This kind of helps explain the rest of it. It kind of all explains itself when you look at it. Look at verse 36. It says, no one puts a new piece from the old garment. No one puts a new piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new doesn't match the old. Therefore, it doesn't match up. So when you get something new, it doesn't match the old. That's what it said. Piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. Right? So it's not going to be the same. It may be close, but when you take a good look at it, you can tell that this is an old paisley, you know, same colors maybe, but the old has been washed many times, carried around, you know, gotten dirty, cleansed it, washed it, you know, all kind of, so it's kind of changed, it's lost its some of its color. So the new piece has fresh new colors, never been washed, never been had soap put on it, never had any, it's just brand new. And it doesn't match the old, friend. This will tell you something, that our new revelation from God, it's not going to match the old. It may even be the same pattern. You know good and well, they may even have the pattern they made it from in the first place 5 years ago. Oh, honey, you go back out there in the garage or whatever and see if you can find that piece of, that roll of, or whatever skin that we had. And can you bring it out? Or, you know, bring up that old, because you're repairing a torn garment. Go out to the garage for me and get this material. So you put the material out there, the brand new material, and you match it to the old one, and go, man, it's the same material exactly, but it's this old one's been washed a few times, and the color's not quite the same. And then you take a piece out of the new and patch the old, and it tears it, and plus it doesn't match it. So in other words, he's saying, don't do that. Get the new. That no one puts new wineskin into a wineskin. That's when he goes right into that. So that pretty well confirms that. All right, that was new for me, y'all. Hope you got something out of that tonight. Maybe you got something you can share with me. Amen. What you're getting out of that, I would love to hear it. It takes me a few times to choose something to really get it, and I'll repeat it probably 100 times. That's the way I digest things and get things into my being. All right, very cool. I think we're going to stop with that right now. And let's go here to callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. So we've got two people with their hand up. And all right, so if you want to get in there tonight, you can. So get your hand up there. We've got a couple people with their hand up. All right, so we're going to believe God to minister to you and believe God with you for ministry and of the Holy Spirit, and that we are in a season of just God giving us new wineskin, brand new. We're not going to patch things up, going to make it work. The new with the old is not going to work. All right, that's what God's saying, the new with the old. You got something from people you just learned out of a book, And I'm telling you, friend, it may be really awesome to you. Maybe you paid a lot of money for that. You know, your education, whatever you did, the time you spent. I know. We have several people, like some people in Florida. I think Charles and Nikki took classes and courses, you know, for quite a while. I'm sure they paid for them too at church. I don't know, but they spent a lot of time learning that stuff, you know. And probably most of it is good. I really don't know, but until God shows it to you, it's not going to be real, friend. It's not going to meet your needs in the real life. And that's what we're believing God for. So let God wash away the old doctrines and let him wash in, bring the new. Man, we're going to have a new wineskin. We're going to see everything differently. It's not going to match up with the old, though the old was good. And most people are going to like, at first, they're going to like the taste of the old. You start talking about some old doctrine somebody had, and, you know, they just get all ooey and gooey. And, oh, yeah, I remember when, you know. Why? Because their whole being has been believed that stuff. So it tastes good to them, right? So we're going to give them a chance to drink anew and eventually walk with me. So we have to be patient. Not one of my greatest virtues in some of these things. Patience and give people time to, you know, learn and grow and get it from the Father. We plant, we water, but only God can give the increase, right? Yeah, so I'm learning how to be patient with that. All right, so be patient with me. I appreciate it. All right, cause I'm willing to admit I don't know everything about this stuff. I'm waiting for the Lord to make everything a new wine, new wineskin, every bit of it. Okay, for Zena tonight, Lord, pray for Zena tonight. God, we pray that that God, your mercy and your grace, God, will move into Zena's life, Father. Unmerited favor, Lord, in Jesus' name. And, let her check her motives and her intentions. But everything is about motive and intention. You can do the right thing for the wrong reason. And I thank you, Jesus, for all the intentions and motives that Zena has, Father, that you begin to let her bring people in her life that will do what she's doing, to let her see what it looks like. Sometimes God will mirror us through somebody else that may be more intense about what they are into than you are, but still it's the same thing, the basic same thing. When you see it right in front of you, if you're like me, I get extremely irritated with people who are too much like me, you know, in my faults and my shortcomings. It's extremely irritating to have somebody, you know, show you, when God starts showing you yourself through somebody else. Oh my Lord, I've talked about this a few times on some jobs that I used to have. And one of the guys was like a pain in the neck, man. I thought, who is this guy? And the Lord said, you just like him. What? What an insult that was. I said, oh my God. You know, if I hadn't been taught the way I was, I probably would never even listen to that. I would probably just, that probably just went right over my head. But thank God for the teaching that I had learned that I went, oh, okay. And it kind of took me a little while to swallow it, but I finally did. And by the grace of God, the things I learned from it was amazing. And I was able to look at him and see my weaknesses and see my needs. And I could see in his weaknesses that he didn't get his needs met in certain ways. And I started seeing that, and I had a little compassion on myself, which gave me compassion for him. Oh, this guy was like on steroids, me on steroids, if y'all can imagine that. Yeah, that was. And he drove everybody crazy. He was a very creative person. He had a lot of good things going on. But, man, he was like hyper. Wow. And I think they were trying to get rid of me. They put me to work with him. Sometimes I think it was a strategy to get rid of me. Because we're having the revival thing going on. And about that time, I can't remember exactly the timing of all this, but I think they're getting a little bit tired of me. Sharing Jesus with people every day, at work at least. So I did my job. I did my job and did my job well. Worked hard. I'm a hard worker. I like working, so I enjoy working. So I'm not looking for a way to be lazy and, you know, I like going at it. I like being productive. So, yeah. Be productive, man. My brain experiment's coming along. I find out when I don't do it. I went for a few days where I got so busy I didn't have time to do my brain stuff. and I could definitely tell a difference. I kept thinking, why do I feel so slow? You know, and I realized, oh my gosh, I have been so busy. I didn't have my drink going on. I had to go, you know, buy my stuff, make my drink that I drink, and I wasn't able to do my brain stuff. And wow, I'm like going. So in the last few days, since I got to kick back in, I'm going, like, oh man, yeah, there we go. Now we're syncing up. Really, it's truly amazing. I'm so thankful for it. So we're still working on it, and it's a big operation, at least in my opinion. And it's definitely works. I mean, I could tell. One of the things that showed me, I didn't think about it as an experiment. Now I can see how God might have allowed me to not be able to do any of it for 3 or 4 days or 5 days, maybe longer than that. I can't remember exactly, but I just started thinking, man, I felt my brain felt darker. I didn't feel as light and, you know, bright, if you will. And so, wow. And it's amazing the difference it makes. Yeah, it really does. All right, so that was a kind of a experiment without knowing it. And now I know even more so that when it's not being done, you go back to your lower level and you don't even realize how low level you were. Go back to it. All right? I mean, literally, that's what it felt like. I'm like, wow. I mean, I was doing okay, you know, but, you get used to this new stuff, and it's amazing. All right, so thank you for praying for me. I really appreciate it. And we're here to pray for you and minister to you. And I thank God for PGN. And all right, let's take our callers tonight. We pray for Gina. All right, 803-991. Who am I talking to you from, please? Hey, Angela. All right. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for Angela. Thank you, Jesus, for the genius. Lord, we speak to the genius inside of her. I think the genius inside of you is probably the same as the genius inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit of not us on steroids, but us on, you know, drinking from the fountains of his life and his thinking and his connecting to his creativity, because we're made in his likeness, right? So because we're made in his likeness, what is he? I would definitely think God's a genius. So that means every one of us can be, to a certain degree, a genius. Right? So a genius means creativity, is the ability to think, you know, high levels. So Lord, I thank you for, I bet you didn't expect this, did you? I thank you, Lord, tonight for this word, and we thank you, Jesus, for the genius in her that we've been created in the image and likeness of Jesus. Oh, everything but the genius part? I don't think so. I think every part of him, we are like him in every way. So thank you, Jesus, for that, and amen, for teaching her how to teach Angela how to connect to that, how to work with the Holy Spirit, which is the part of us that part that activates our genius, or the parts of us that are created like him and in his image, right? In his genius image, in his high level thinking part of it. We thank the Lord that we are in your likeness. We're not trying to use, oh, there's the old wineskin thing again. We're not trying to use our old thinking to do new things. We thank the Lord for giving us new thoughts like he did Peter. New wine skin, new wine. And we learn to drink from that wine and not drink from our old thinking and our old ways, and think from our new born-again spirit man, right? Our born-again spirit man can never get old again. Once you got born again, Angela, once your spirit man became born again and see with Christ in heavenly places, now your soul is old. Your body is old, or however old it is, but your spirit man is brand spanking new. It's like, you know, 30 years old. Because everybody in heaven stays around 30. So I think that's really is your spirit, man. Actually, I really do. Yeah. So really, really cool. All right. So anyway, how about that? I bet you didn't expect that. All right.
I didn't know
genius.
I didn't.
Wake up over there. You're a genius now.
I've never been called a genius before.
You probably already knew it. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I've never been called a genius before. I never thought of myself as a genius, to be honest. But that's a very nice thing to know. I receive
it. Yeah, it's very well documented as of this moment, you know. But I never thought about it. Actually, right until it came out of my own mouth right now over you, that's usually how God does me. He just kind of lets me flop my jaws, and then I'm going like, what? You sure you don't want to refine that word a little bit, Lord? He says, no, just give it like I'd give it. So what I saw in that was, as you heard, and me hearing it for the first time, I've never said it to anybody in my life. That in that way, never had. Because I always think of geniuses as somebody who, you know, is a genius, not somebody like us, like regular people. We may be smart in some ways, but we're not genius. I'm not a genius. I don't think I'm a genius. Now, my grandkids might think I'm a genius, maybe. I don't know anymore. They're getting older, so they're probably getting a lot smarter. But if you start thinking about it, we've been created in the image and likeness of Jesus. And your spirit man is totally recreated in his likeness and image. That's why he's seated at the right hand of the Father. You know, but your soul, our mind, will, emotions are here in the earth, you know. Yet our spirit man is in our body, but yet he's in a position. So our soul is in a different position and sees things completely. And that's all of our old stuff. That's why we have to deal with the soul, because it has all of our old stuff in there that needs to be restructured and renewed. But our spirit man, he's been recreated. He's walking in genius there. Don't you think Jesus was a genius? Do you think he was?
Yes. I agree 1,000%. Yes.
I never thought about it before. I've never thought about Jesus being a genius. That's hard to say. Jesus, try to say that 10 times real quick. Jesus, genius, Jesus, genius, Jesus, genius, Jesus, Jesus, genius. You can't do it. You probably could, though. Very interesting. Very interesting. And we start, if we can believe God to start looking at it like that. Yeah.
Not just that, but when you're saying genius, Jesus, genius, it's almost like you're saying genius in his name. Jesus, you're just saying
genius.
I just caught that. Yeah.
It's the first time ever. I promise to God, I've never even put this together before.
Yeah. That's cool. Wow. Jesus, genius. Genius, Jesus. Wow. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Never said it. Yeah, that's brand new. That's new wine for a new wineskin. We can't mix it with the old. Or we'll start going like, me a genius like Jesus? No way. Because we're going to look at our old mind, our soul, the part of us that hasn't been totally renewed yet. Or, you know, our soul is being renewed, but it's the part of us that has to be renewed, you know, regularly. But our spirit man, there's nothing renewed about our spirit man. He's brand spanking new. So he's like Jesus in the sense that the problem is that we don't function from our spirit man enough. Are probably people going to start calling you a genius when you do that?
Right. Yeah, I know I don't function from mine enough, I don't think, for sure. But, you know, I know he gives me a lot of creative, like he prophesied with me before, creative lightings and stuff. I guess that's in the way of genius.
I'm having trouble hearing you. I don't know if you're speaking right into your phone or not, but I'm having a little trouble hearing you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was saying that I had some stupid things. But yeah, with my writing, that's kind of like I'm a genius at the way I write. And the creative ideas he's giving me to write about certain things. So maybe I'm the genius in that area of my life, writing.
Right, where you're learning to function with your spirit man. I know that when we start feeling like we're called to do something, I think that's when we depend on the Lord more than any to do it, you know. And when you depend on the Lord, you're actually drawing from your own spirit man, which is seated with him. You got to think about this. Our spirit man is seated. The Bible says our spirit man, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that's our spirit man, no question about it. Look at, and I just thought about this too. I'm glad we're recording this. We'll go back and listen to it. But the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Well, what kind of mind does Jesus have? A genius mind. And if we have that mind. Also let that mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Right there it is, girl. No doubt.
There it is. Absolutely. Wow. Things you hear and say, but you don't really, like you say, new wine skin, you don't really grasp it at the time. Until you get a message like this tonight, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Make you think about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, girl.
That's the
first
disease ever. Bring across my mind.
Yeah. And now listen to this. I just thought about this too, because we're on this scripture about the new wine and the old wine and the old wineskin. I think the old wineskin is our mind, the thing we've been raised with, even with our religious upbringing and all that. Our mind is the only part of us that's still old, you know, that has what, because you think about it, what do you have? Do you have memories of, what's the earliest memory you have of yourself? Something you did, and make sure to stay with the good thing. I'm just messing with you. Not waking up on one of the brothers around the neighborhood. None of that.
You were saying something earlier with your story you were talking about, and I'm sitting here listening to you, and I had this mask on my face. I'm like, God, please don't make him laugh with his mask on, because it's going I had to hurry, go there, rinse it off. And I was like, he's about to make me crack up. You were saying about some guy, God showed you, you didn't like the guy or something, and you said you saw yourself in the guy. He's like, oh, God.
Yeah, that's right.
I know, it's funny. I think we've all done
that.
That's funny. The earliest memory, I was in kindergarten, and my mother had packed me lunch for my trip to the zoo. And I had an older brother, he was like a year or two older than me. We were at the bus stop waiting for the bus. And I remember he kind of bribed me into giving him some of my lunch, some of my cookies that my mother had gave me for my lunch.
Your cookies. That was mean. Yeah. That was really mean right there. That was mean.
Yeah.
And what did you think about that when you figured out? Did you get upset with him, or are you just glad you shared with him, or what were you thinking?
I didn't, because I gave it to him out of my own. You know, he kept worrying me about it, asking me for him, and I remember I had, like, I think one or two left for myself, but I remember it was for my trip to the zoo to make sure I had something, you know, when I got to the zoo and stuff. But, he kept asking me for him, but I did get, you know, I wasn't mad at him because I ended up giving it to him myself.
Okay.
But, we were in
kindergarten. So you were in kindergarten. That made you what, four or five?
Yeah, about four or five. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so now I don't know how old you are. I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but I'm older too. I'm older than you. I'm sure, probably a lot older. But you know, that's an old memory. I mean, if you're 30 years old, that's when you were like, that's 20, you know, 20 something years ago. It's like it's been a while back.
Yeah, over 20 something.
So If you're 35, that was like 30 years ago for you. That's an old memory, right? Mm-hmm. So you still have that memory. That did not pass away when you got born again, right? But your spirit man, that's in your soul. That's your new memories. Your memory is your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. That's all wrapped up in your soul. Your soul is not the part of you that got born again. Your soul is the part of you that gets renewed and refreshed, but your spirit man is the part of you that got all completely brand new everything. It's like getting a brand new spanking brand new car. Just everything brand new. Nobody's ever had it before. You've got for the first time. And then you got your old car that's got old memories in it. Right. So every time you get in your new car, you're thinking, you're driving, you're going, man, this is awesome, dude. Whoa. I'm going to go see my brother and see if he wants to go get some cookies. You know, I'm going to buy him some cookies down at the cookie store in my new car now that I'm doing good. But you have no memories in that car, right? It's the first time. But you get in your old car, and you got old memories. You remember when you took your mama for a ride, and she sat there and said, you know, and you took, you know, whoever you took for a ride, your cousins, your whoever. You have memories in that old car. Nothing wrong with the old car, but so it's the same thing with our spirit man. Our spirit man is like completely like a brand new car we've never driven before. It's seated with Christ in heavenly places, but your soul has all these things that's got memories in it, and those memories have to be healed or blessed or forgiven or, you know, whatever things we have that we need to deal with, if there are any, and make it new, you know, receive with meekness and grafted word, you know, to make your soul new. So it gets renewed. Our mind gets renewed. Yeah. Our soul gets renewed. Right. But you see what I'm saying? So spirit man, your new car has all this new technology. You know, there's so much to learn about it. You may have to study for a month to figure out how to run the thing. right? You can drive it,
right.
But you don't know all the little doodads that it has in it, you know, like getting a brand new car and a new computer. So it's got all this brand new stuff in it, and you don't know how to work half of it yet. You're going to have to go watch some YouTube videos to see how to work the thing and take some classes to see what all this thing's got so you can work it. Yeah, that's the way our spirit man is. It's kind of like we don't realize the power of it, you know, the amazing difference between our soul and our spirit man.
Wow, yeah.
So it's like new wine.
Like you said, put on a new.
Yeah, it's brand new.
Yeah.
And if we mix the old with the new, it just doesn't work. So the new has to renew the old, actually.
Yeah.
And our wineskin, our new wineskin, is a part of us that has the new wine, has the new understanding. And our soul has the old understanding about how we look at life, how we look at mom and dad, how we look at our, you know, the fact that our brother talked us out of our cookie and we didn't mind it, but, you know, and we had enough cookies for us, which we were fine with it. I'm just trying to talk about, like, you know, how did you feel about that when he got your cookie? Did you later get upset? Did you love it? Did you think, well, you know, I didn't mind. You know, I can't believe he swindled me out of my cookies. However you thought about it, I'm not trying to be arguing about it. But it's like, that's an old memory. That's an old thought. And if he would have done something, you know, if he did something good for you and you feel like you did, maybe you should have given him all your cookies. I mean, you start feeling bad. You know what? I don't know why I just didn't give him all my cookies. He's my brother. I should have done that. And condemn yourself because you didn't give him all the cookies. You know, so our emotions have all these things in it that sometimes we get to go back and say, man, you didn't need to give him all your cookies. What are you doing? You know, you gave him a couple of cookies. You shared with him. You enjoyed it. You loved him for it. You know, you gave him. You shared with him. You know, hey, it's cool. And you feel good about yourself, you know. And so that's the emotional part of us that has old memories that have to be renewed and wash away a little bit of condemnation or a bit of unforgiveness toward, you know, a parent or somebody who hurt you or wounded you. You know, go back and say, man, I think I still have unforgiveness toward him. You know, when you see him walking down the street 35 years later, you know, you just want to go over there and bite him or something, you know, and you hadn't seen him in 35 years, but you were, that memory popped up. You're going, and because you're a good, godly woman, you're going, like, I'm not going to bite him. I'm not going to do that. I don't care what he, I'm not going to bite him. But God, I seem to have some unforgiveness toward him. God, I forgive him in Jesus' name. And you go over there and give him a hug and say, good to see you, man, because your heart, you know, you see what I'm saying? You renew it.
Right.
It was old, and then you renew it.
And
I think you're
going
to write a book about that.
That's good stuff because, you know, I think sometimes, like you were saying a couple of messages ago, maybe last week, about certain things that maybe your parents said or did that you don't realize you thought you had forgiven them. And that's what I'm including myself. I think you have forgiven them, and you say, you go down memory lane and you realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm still mad about that. And you got to ask God to cleanse that and forgive you and forgive them. Because you don't realize you're holding stuff sometimes. And, you know, I constantly have to do a heart check myself because, you know, I think I heard Terrence and Tanisha talk about it on one of their programs too about, you know, God creating me a clean heart and you need the right spirit within me. Because, you know, a lot of times we don't think about stuff that we were holding. And like you just said, you know, you go down memory lane, you realize, oh, that's right, they did punch me in the face. I ain't forgot that. So stuff people have done to you in the past, you don't think about it too. You know, you ain't thought about it. And you're like, oh, yeah, I am still mad about that. I ain't think about it.
Yeah.
You brought it up or you reminded me. So, yeah. Old line and new bottles. Yeah.
Yeah. And for some reason, I mean, I don't understand why, but when God created, he couldn't do our mind that way, our soul that way. The reason I know our soul doesn't get totally reborn and totally everything changes, because everything changed, you wouldn't have those old memories in there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or if you did, you wouldn't have any issues with any of them. They'd all be, like, completely fixed. But they're not fixed, you know.
Right.
There's things in there. Maybe most of them got fixed. Maybe some of them. Maybe none of them. Maybe, I don't know. But they're still there because they're memories. And but your spirit man has no memory of anything old. You know, it's completely brand new. And then God protects it by seeding it with him in Christ. Not standing there, not hanging around, but seats him. So we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's your spirit, man. And the reason he had to seat us there is because that's the only safe place we could be without You know, I mean, that way our spirit man won't sin, because he's not in this realm. Mm-hmm. He's not in the realm of sin. He's where's he at? What mm-hmm. realm is he in? The sinner realm or in the heavenly realm? He's in the heavenly realm. He's in heavenly place with Christ. Is there any sin up there? Any temptation? None. Now, our soul gets tempted in sin and does stuff. Our body does. And that's the way I try to explain to people this, because it's kind of a new thing. You know, to me, this is new. I haven't really heard anybody teach in specifics about this before. Mm-hmm. I know Kenneth Copeland has some really good teachings on whether righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but then it's like you had to keep confessing it, like you really didn't believe it because it really wasn't true. But it was true. It was true only spiritually. But in all truth, spirit man, which is a part of you, it's a spiritual part of you, but it's a very real part of you, is truly righteous all the time. You know, all the time.
Right.
He that is born of God sinneth not. So that, you know, that contradicts what our soul does. Our soul sins, even if we get born again. We make mistakes, right. We fail, we get unforgiveness. But your spirit man, I believe, never does sin. Again, never. So, you know, and mainly because he's not even tempted anymore. That's why when we got born again, our spirit man, God did this thing where he automatically just positioned our spirit man to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. Is Jesus up there tempting him to sin? I don't think so. Are the angels up there tempting him to sin? I don't think so. There's no temptation in the heavenly places. None. You know, he's seated with Christ. He's in the presence mm-hmm. of holiness and righteousness. Your spirit man is, but not our soul. Our soul is down here, has old memories. You know, we growl when we see old friends that, you know, were mean to us, make fun of us, and mock us when we were younger, and you know, maybe we got over it. Maybe we haven't yet. Maybe we got over half of it. Maybe not.
Right.
And that's a whole different realm. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't start seeing, I'm even seeing this right now for the first time, that our spirit man is the new wineskin. And our soul is the old wine and old wineskin. I'm not guaranteeing that.
Can I ask you a question?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask you a question? So just say a person is and they don't serve the Lord. Do we automatically have a spirit man waiting for us to receive Christ already seated in heaven place, and we just have to receive it, or do once we turn away from that life, and then that spirit man is created there in heaven for us? Or how does that work with that spirit man being already?
That's a really good question.
In heaven.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. Every human being, either born again or not, we're triune, right? We're spirit, soul, and body. So when you're conceived mm-hmm. in your mama's womb, you have a spirit that came from God, a soul that came from God, and a body that, you know, is your mama's and daddy's somehow. It's yours, but it's come from a product of your, you know, mom and dad. So when you get born into the earth, you're, and you know, your first week, you're heathen, even though you're a little thing. You have a spirit and a soul and a body. So when you get born again, what happens is that spirit man that you already have inside you, which is dead in Christ Jesus, is dead in sin, the Bible says, all of a sudden your spirit man, through the birth of Christ, it's your spirit man that actually gets birthed. Your soul doesn't really get saved, or your soul doesn't really get born again. Your spirit mm-hmm. man is the part of you that gets born again. So what happens is, I say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior, forgive me my sins, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and it's come back for me in Jesus' name. I received that. So I did it with God, and I'm born again. So what happened? Positionally, my spirit man went from being in darkness to being full of light. He's seated with Christ. I'm not talking about going to a physical heaven. I'm talking about being positioned, because your spirit man never leaves your body. It's just a position that your spirit man is in, if that makes sense. It's a position. Your spirit man never leaves your body, you know, as far as when you get born again. He just becomes born again, and now that he's pure and recreated in the image and likeness of Jesus, he's now a whole new creature, means he's in a whole new position spiritually. He's seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Okay.
So he's seated mm-hmm. with Christ positionally. Never leaves your body. So you don't get a brand new spirit man. Your old spirit man gets totally recreated and becomes brand spanking new. But your soul, I don't know exactly what happens to the soul when we get born again. But I know your soul does not get born again. Your soul gets cleansed and washed of sin, and then you go on the road of renewing your soul with the Word of God. You know, in James it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word for the saving of your mind or your soul. Or, you know, so that's a process there. Mm-hmm. But there's no process with your spirit man. That's instantaneous. And the spirit man you had when you got saved, I mean, when you were lost, this is the same spirit man you have now, except it's been totally recreated. And the soul you have is the same soul you had, except now the power of sin's been broken over it, and now you can go in there and go through and cleanse and wash and make new. Does that make sense? If it doesn't make sense, say it, because it's okay, because we'll find a way to make it plainer for people to understand. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so that makes that make a bit of sense. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen to this. She's like an evangelist. She was saying the other day how the blood is still alive. The blood is still here. She was giving a message about that on Sunday, and that it's active, and that it's, you know, everywhere. And well, that's a pretty powerful message. You know, the blood is alive. It's active right now, and it's over the whole earth. But like you say, you know, like if you don't accept and measure Savior, that's the key to the spirit man being seated with him in heavenly places. So,
right.
You know,
that's the key. You get connected to the blood realm. You get connected to his blood because you're asking him to cleanse you of your blood, cleanse us of his blood by his blood. Yeah. Awesome. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And once your spirit man gets born again, this is something we haven't talked about a whole lot because I have to go through scripture on it, but I think that once your spirit man gets born again, your spirit man doesn't need the blood anymore. Your soul needs the blood every day, right? Because the soul is the part of you that sins and does what? Needs to be washed, needs to be cleansed. Your spirit man, if your spirit man doesn't sin, what's the blood good for? The blood is what got you forgiven so your spirit man could get born again. So without the blood, your spirit man would not be brand new. Actually, it's the Holy Spirit that makes your spirit man new. It's the Holy Spirit that births you. But it's the blood of Jesus that forgives you of your sin so that the Holy Spirit can come in and make you new. But once your spirit man is totally renewed and never sins again, which I believe that's what the scripture said, he's seated with Christ in heavenly places, there's no need for the blood to forgive anything. But the blood is needed tremendously for your soul and your body. Now, I may not be exactly perfect, but you have to understand what I'm trying to say. That if your spirit, man, what's the blood for? Basically, forgiveness of sin, right? So if your spirit man doesn't sin anymore, there's no need for the blood in that way. But it's definitely, we've got to have it every day, you know, or whatever, for our souls to be cleansed. Not just from, because our soul gets out there, and maybe we didn't sin today, but maybe we got all kinds of sin slung on us by other people. Like, hey, you know, Randy, you know, I think you're a sorry, no good preaching bum. Why don't you go to hell where you belong, you sorry dog? You know, so somebody just vomited on me, right? Well, I gotta go clean it off of me. How do I clean it up? By the blood of Jesus. I mean, I've been a sin that I committed, but I cleansed myself. God washed me from that vomit that came out of that guy's mouth today, whatever. Jesus, forgive me. He accused me falsely. You know, I think, Lord, I forgive him. Cleanse me of the blood. I didn't do anything wrong to him. There was no sin on me, so I don't have to get forgiveness of sin. But I do let the blood cleanse me and wash me from that, you know, experience with a worldly person, which is unclean. The world is unclean all the time. But your spirit man, your spirit man doesn't experience that stuff. Your spirit man is hidden in Christ Jesus. He's seated with Christ in heavenly places and never moves from that position. But your soul heard every word that guy cursed you and called you name or whatever they did, accused you falsely of something. Your soul had heard every bit of that and has to deal with it. And that's what the blood is for. And then, of course, when we sin, if we'd have railed back at him and said, yeah, well, you're a sorry, no good heathen, you dog. I'm not going to say that, but I hope you go to hell, but I hope you don't go to hell, you sorry bum. You know, so we go home and go, oh, my God, I can't believe I called him a sorry bum. And I went, so God, forgive me for sinning, for saying that to that guy. So then we cleanse ourselves with the blood, you know, because of sin we committed. But if that makes sense, so, and then the Holy Spirit, the washing of the water, the word, all that.
Yeah. yeah, and do that every day. Either way, I mean, the sins I know and the sins I don't know, wash me in your holy blood, cleanse me from all my righteousness. That's like a everyday prayer for me. And then on, of course, Thursdays, you know, take communion. Sometimes I do it maybe another time during the week. And so,
okay,
yeah, that's, you know, just to keep my, like you say, the spirit man seated with him, but I'm soul man, you know, I say that's
soul man
you battle with. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is that we're God wants us to be righteous in three areas. We're always righteous in our spirit man. Once you get born again, your spirit man never becomes unrighteous again. Your soul, however, mm-hmm. goes through all kinds of things. And let me get the scripture here. We are the righteousness. In Christ. Kenneth Copeland used to teach this all the time. It's really good teaching. I don't know that he understood it correctly or not or now, because I haven't listened to him in a long time. But okay, here it is. Okay. Internet's kind of slow. But here's what I'm going to try to explain the best I can. And I'm glad we're talking about this tonight, because this is something that I've really wanted to talk about for a while. That your spirit man is hidden in Christ Jesus. He's always righteous. As Kenneth Copeland used to always teach, and I thought it was a good teaching. I still think it is today, but I don't think he understood it like we're trying to learn right now. That he was saying, mm-hmm. we need to confess that we're righteous in Christ Jesus, because positionally we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are. Got to confess, and believe. Okay, and I'm not saying that's a wrong thing to do, but in my opinion, what I see is that once your spirit man gets born again and then God positionally moves it to seat with Christ Jesus, it never sins again. So how you always are righteous in Christ Jesus is because your spirit man never sins again. So he's always righteous, always. Now, your soul mm-hmm. can be righteous one day and unrighteous the next day. You know, today I may do good. I may, if I go to bed not cleaning myself, because I sinned or maybe bad thought towards somebody or something or whatever I did that might have been considered a sin, or, you know, somebody slung stuff on me and I didn't clean with it. If I go to bed with that, you know, I may go to bed unrighteous. But the part of me that's righteous and will always be righteous once you're born again is my spirit man. So therefore, you know, I'm always righteous, even if my soul is not righteous for the day. You know, I may wake up in the morning and go, oh, my God, I forgot to pray. God, forgive me for what I said to so-and-so yesterday. I sinned. Forgive me. You know, Lord, cleanse me and wash me of the vomit that get it, and cleanse me and make me pure. And then all of a sudden your soul becomes righteous momentarily. But if our righteousness goes according to whether we're up and down or not, then we're not always righteous, right? So the part of us that's righteous always is the part of us that's seated with Christ in heavenly places. That makes sense. And so I think that when we start understanding that, we'll also understand scripture better.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot of messages. I mean, I never heard that in church or anything like that, actually. You know, I've been in church my whole life and never heard messages like what I get here at PGN. So that helps you to grow spiritually and mature in a lot of things that you were. Like a baby in, maybe, so to speak. But,
right, you know, yeah. I sure got you, yeah. There's a lot of things I'm a baby in. Yeah, there's a lot of things I'm a baby in. And some things I'm not a baby in. Some things I've grown in for a while. And when I get something brand new, when something new get birthed inside me, I'm a baby in that until I grow in it, you know, every time. So I can be a baby, you know, one day and start growing the next day. And, you know, so, yeah, I think you're right. I'm trying to find that scripture. What does I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus mean? Let's see if anybody's got it right. What does I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Okay. Oh, so that's Joseph Prince talking about that. I clicked on a link. And so he's talking about what does I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus really mean? I guess he's going to explain it there. So I am explaining it the way I understand it now. I don't know exactly how he's going to say it. I don't keep up with him that much. He's pretty cool in a lot of ways. But I believe that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not by, you know, something I'm trying to claim and be. No, it's something that I am. It's my spirit man. My spirit man, once it's born again, never becomes unrighteous again, ever. Why? Because when I got born again, my spirit man was sealed and seated with Christ positionally, never to come down from that seat, never. Now, my soul goes up to heaven and down to hell, up to heaven, not the eternal hell, but, you know, into the world, up in the heavens, in the world, up in the, it goes up and down and up and down and up and down. Up and down. And, but my spirit man never does that. So when people, when Kenneth Copeland used to teach that years ago, now I look back at those teachings going, that was pretty cool, except I think it means that our spirit man is always righteous, and it's not something we have to claim, because when we sin and our soul sins, you know, our mind sins, we're getting forgiveness, then we go, well, I'm not righteous right now. We know you're not righteous. I know I'm not righteous because I just sinned. You know, I just said something ugly to somebody. I know that was a sin. I'm not righteous right now, but the Bible says we're always righteous once you're born again. So that has to be the same thing when the scripture says in 1 John that he that is born of God sinneth not. You know, and then it goes on a little bit later and it says, but he that says he has no sin is a liar. So how can the Bible contradict it? It's not contradicting itself. It's explaining two different parts of us. And so when I started seeing that, it really helped me understand the Bible and a lot of things I didn't understand before. Even teachings I heard, like with Kenneth Copeland, you know, I thought was really good teaching. I just couldn't quite grasp it for some reason, but I tried. I thought it was good. And so now I can grasp it because now I understand. Now the Father showed me what it means. Pretty cool.
He said he would teach us things. No man would have to teach us. He would teach us. Yeah, that is. No, that's good information to know. We can be messing up.
Yeah, it is.
Our spirit man is never messing up. But we here on this planet, we're messing up sometimes.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
Yeah, position. Right. No, it was on purpose. Because we live, you know, I don't think anybody would deliberately and willfully, you know, get up and say, I'm going to go sin today. Now, if they're having a really, really bad day, they might just do it to be rebellious or something for the moment. You know, maybe they get a hard part, of, a part of their life where they have some unforgiveness, where they have some pain and heartache that they keep waking up with a memory of their father and their mother abusing them or whatever. Or maybe some coach or some friend or some teacher or some buddy or some brother or sister abusing them and hurting them. And they wake up with that fear. They had a bad dream about it, like last night going. They wake up going, oh my God, you know, I gotta go find some relief, you know. And so instead of seeking God about relief in that area and getting it dealt with by God, they gotta go out and, you know, do something, you know, whatever that is. And so, and that way they might wake up and say, I'm gonna go sin. But I think generally most people don't, most of us who are wanting to walk with God, we don't, we love being clean. We love being right with God. It feels a whole lot better. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's good stuff, Randy. Yeah, that's definitely something to keep, you know, keep you grounded. At least you know you got a place with God in heaven. He's already sealed you. We already know. We believe we got a seat with him already, you know. And then it's just the daily walk here, the struggle here we got to work through. And then, you know, be obedient as we possibly can. Like you say, constantly washed in the blood for what, like with bad memories or something you did today or yesterday that you know, God may not be pleased with, that you don't know he's not pleased with. So.
But, you know, the thing about it is that we can always realize it's not a once saved, always saved message. People, that's the once saved, always saved message. Well, I didn't believe once saved, always saved for many, many years. I taught just the opposite of it. Just the opposite for years and wholeheartedly believed. You know, because there's all these scriptures that make it look like things, you know, but it's just misinterpretation. So when I went back and let the Holy Spirit explain it to me, I was like going, oh, my God, Lord, you know, I don't even believe in this that you're trying to tell me. I don't even believe in this. He said, I know you don't, but I'm going to show you. So come on, let's go. So we walked together, and he began to break it down for me and show me, just like a human being, when a human being, a man and a woman come together, and the seed and the sperm is in that womb, and there's a baby conceived. You know, that child will, mm-hmm. will always be the child of the seed and the egg. It'll never be anybody else's mm-hmm. child. It can't be. That's one of the ways he began to explain it to me mm-hmm. was through that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he said, once you're born of the Father, Randy, your seed, that seed always remains in you. So that's what it says in the scripture. It says, in 1 John, it says, because your seed remains in you. That's literally what it said. I went, remember when you read that, Randy? I went, mm-hmm. yeah. He said, that's what that means. I went, what? That is amazing. And so little by little, he took me by the hand and started showing me, you know, mm-hmm. that your seed remains in you. And so it really was just, you know, mind-boggling. I mean, I just like, oh, wow. Yeah, it literally says your seed. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's something you don't think about. You know, never thought about it that way. Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that. Like, my internet's messing up here. But devil, I bind you in Jesus' name. Oh, there it goes. As soon as I said devil, I bind you, it came on. That is literally true. That is amazing. Okay, 1 John 3:9. Let's look at this for a second. This is, yeah, literally, as soon as I said devil, I bind you, it came right up. I mean, boom, just like that, honest to God. Come forth.
Awesome.
In Jesus' name. For some reason, it's not wanting. Yeah, I've got to fix this. I haven't fixed it yet. Okay, hang on a second here. Let me go here. Okay. All right. Okay, let me look at this here. It says, here's what it says. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, look at that. That's so contradictive. If you don't understand it, it's so contradictive to the other parts of the scripture, which says, you know, he who says he doesn't sin is a liar. So when I looked at those two things, I'm going, God, I know your word does not contradict itself. What does that mean? He said, Randy, think about it. When a man and a woman come together and that seed and that egg come together and produce a child, that's the seed. And that seed can never be anybody else's seed, even if they kill the baby in the womb, even if they kill the, you know, or it gets brought forth and they adopt it out right away. And that child never sees its mother and father. Who's the mother and father of that child? The real mother, the seed. I went, well, the one who, you know, yeah, who came together and you know, had. So I said, okay, I see that. He says, Randy, who's ever father and mother that seed came from, even if they never even met their mother and father, they got adopted out of the womb. He said that will never change. They will always have the DNA of that seed. I'm going like, I went, and that started clicking with me. I'm going like, oh, my God, for his seed remains in him. Oh, dear Jesus, how come I never saw it? That's 1 John 3:9. How come I never saw that before? Because I was blinded by a doctor, something I preached for many years.
No. Yeah, I never knew that. Now that you're saying it the way you're saying it and explaining it to us tonight, I never knew that either. I never knew that. You were saying that what was that you read earlier about every man sins? He who says he doesn't sin is about
sin. It says that he that says he does not sin is a liar.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
And I always took that as meaning we're all just sinners. You know, we're saved by grace We all sin, but you're saying the spirit man in us never sins, but that's what that scripture means. We're thinking it just means, you know, we're sinners, you know, and that's
right.
What it is. And we just, but it means it's more to it than that. Now I understand it. Now that you're saying
let me
I get it now.
Let me read this to you. Let me read this to you out of 1 John 1:8. I think I just read 1 John 1:9. I read 1 John. Yeah. 1 John 3:9. That was 1 John 3:9. Okay. That said, whoever's born of God sinneth not because his seed remains in him. He cannot sin. Now, that's pretty obvious. I mean, you can't, Twisted Sister has to really mess that one up to say, Okay, so we're looking at that saying, I never sinned. I just sinned a while ago. How can I, and I know I'm born again.
Mm-hmm.
How can it say, I sin? So that didn't make any sense. I'm going like, okay. And then I go over here to 1 John 1:8, and it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in it. He's talking about born-again people. If we say we have no mm-hmm. sin, refusing to admit that we are a sinner, you know, or we delude ourselves, then we have no sin. And yet the other scripture, you know, a couple of chapters later says, he that is truly born of God, sinneth not. And he can't sin, it says, because his seed remains in him. And so the Lord took that, these two scriptures, he's going like, okay, I want you to think about this. If the seed remains in you, what would that mean? And as far as what he explained to me, I said, well, okay, because my mom and daddy got together, they got married, and they had my sister, and then they had me. So if they would have adopted me out, and I would have never met them or seen them ever again in my life, not even known who they were or what they looked like or nothing, never contacted me, whose child would I be as far as seed goes? Who do I belong? Who do I belong to? My mother and my father, who I never saw.
Mm-hmm.
My seed, because their seed, my father's seed, remained in me. He said, Randy, it's the same thing. When you truly get born again, you can never sin because your spirit man gets seated with Christ in heavenly places and cannot sin. Because the reason I did that, the Lord showed me, the reason I did that was because I knew that if your spirit man was left in it, he might sin again. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Just like Adam and Eve had a pure spirit, right? When they were born, when they were created by the Father, their spirit was totally pure. They had no sin in their soul or body, right? No sin at all. So when their spirit man sinned, Angela, when their spirit man sinned, he said that was devastating. He said that was totally just like that ruined everything. And so he said, now, I'm just going to explain to you what I got. So now when I did all this, I fixed it to where when they got born again, that their spirit man was seated with Christ positionally in the heavenly realm, and it does not even live, if you will, in the worldly world. He lives in the world of God in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see what I'm saying? And so I kind of started going like, wow, now that's starting to make sense. And that's why it says he can't sin. It makes it so plain, Angela. It says not only can he that is born again does not sin, but he cannot sin. And I thought, cannot? How can it be cannot? That doesn't make any sense. How can he cannot sin? Because I fixed it to where he can't sin. I seated him in heavenly places with me. Now, the soul is down in the earth realm. The soul has the memories in it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though your spirit may never leave your body, it's a positional thing. You know, it's a creation. You're just a whole new creature. And your spirit man is completely brand new, and so he's in heavenly places. And Ephesians 2:6 says, God has raised us up with Christ. He has raised us up with him in his heavenly kingdom. That's because we belong. Okay, let me read the Bible. Okay. God has raised us from the dead, from death to life in Christ Jesus, and he has given us a place beside Christ in heaven or in heavenly places. Let me read the right version. I'm going to read all these versions. I have to read all of them. Is that making sense? I mean, literally?
Oh, yeah. I'm getting it now. I'm going to go back and read the John, what you talk about. I'm going to read it for myself, too. And yeah, because I never looked at it like that. I had no clue about that's the way that scripture was really supposed to be interpreted. So thank you for that. Thank you for giving us that information, because I never thought of it that way. Never thought of it being the spirit man he was talking about. And that's very
right. And that's when the Father said, you know, like Jesus would have said to me, Randy, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father, I went, got that right. Well, I would have never. I'm like, Andrew, we would have never figured that out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, you know, people say, if you're saying you're not a sinner, there's something wrong with you if you say you're not a sinner. Well, I'm not saying I'm not a sinner. I'm not saying that I don't sin. But I'm not a sinner anymore. You know why I'm not a sinner? Because the part of me that's righteous and will always be righteous is no longer a sinner. He cannot sin. So I'm not a sinner, but I still sin. That's different between being a liar. If somebody is a liar, Angela, if I said that if you call me a liar, instead of saying I lie, somebody who lies may not be a liar. A liar is somebody who lies about everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is a liar and somebody who lies? What does that mean to you? Somebody who lies is a liar. They lie all the time about everything.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
somebody who lies once in a while, they can't tell the truth. Right. So it's like saying, now I tell people I'm not a sinner, but I still sin. They said, how can you still sin and not be a sinner? I said, because my spirit man is righteous. The Bible says that part of me cannot sin anymore. So we have a dual nature going on. We have a part of us that can never sin again, says it cannot sin. And then we have a part of us that does sin. But I'm not a sinner, because what made me a sinner before was the fact that my spirit man was dead in Christ. He was separated from Christ. That's what made me a sinner. But now I'm not a sinner, but I still sin. Just like now I'm not a liar. I got delivered from being a liar, but do I lie once in a while? Somebody gets me in the corner and tries to say, did you steal that thing? Do you know anybody? Do you know the person that stole that? And you know it was your cousin, right? But you don't want to rat on your cousin, right? And I'm going to rat on my cousin. So you lie. You say, no, my cousin didn't steal that. I didn't see anything. You're lying like a dog. You saw it, and you know it was your cousin. But you just lied. That's why you didn't want to get him busted. But if they said, did you steal something? You say, yeah, well, no, I used to steal, but I don't steal anymore. So so there's a difference between being a liar and lying. Same thing as being a sinner and sinning.
Because the difference is now that you're a repentant sinner. You repent when you know you've done something wrong. When you're a sinner and you do stuff, it don't bother you not to repent, or it doesn't, work on your conscience as far as, oh, I need to repent, I need to take this to the Lord. I know I lied, or I know I stole something. But when you're saved, like I said, when your spirit man is seated in heaven, you accepted him as your Savior. You know, Lord, I know I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have stole that, or I shouldn't have did it. You know to go to your Father and repent. I think that's makes the difference between a sinner and the sin. You can still be still sin, but not be a sinner, because you know, God, I can repent because I
Well, I'm not really saying that either. I'm saying something close to that, but I'm not really saying that either. That's close.
Mm-hmm.
This took me years to get it right. I still don't have it right yet, but this is how I explain it to people. I'm not a sinner because I keep myself clean when I mess up, and if I sin something, in my soul I get right with God. And now I'm not a sinner because I used to be a sinner because my spirit, soul, and body were separated from God. That's what makes you born. When you came into your mama, out of your mama's womb, Angela, me and you, when we came out of our mother's womb, we were sinners. Though we never sinned, we were sinners. Why? Because our spirit, soul, and body was separated from God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jesus said he was born of a woman. You need to be born of a woman or born of the womb, born of the flesh, and then you have to be born of the spirit. So when you're born of a woman, your mother, you're not born again, therefore you're separated from God. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. So when we get born again, we go from being a sinner to a sinner who sins to a righteous person, because our spirit man is righteous. Now I'm a righteous person, but my soul still sins. So I'm not even a sinner anymore. And I'm not a sinner because I sinned and got it right with God. I'm not a sinner because my spirit man, who doesn't sin anymore, that's the part of me that used to make me a sinner, and now he doesn't sin anymore, so I'm never a sinner again. But I sin because my soul does something wrong, and I get it right with God, But even if I didn't get it right with God, that still doesn't make me a sinner. It just means I'm a person who sinned, who didn't get forgiveness of their sin. But my spirit man, though I may carry that sin around in my body, my life, for 10 years before I get it right with God as a believer. But I'm still not a sinner. A sinner is somebody who is separated from God. I'm no longer separated from God. I'm now connected to God. My spirit man is always with him. Now, here in the earth realm, my soul will sin, but I'll never be a sinner again. Just because I'm sinning doesn't make me a sinner. A sinner is somebody who's birthed out of his mother's womb, separated from God. Does that make sense? So you have to kind of work that into your,
right.
your
mm-hmm.
I had to start working that into my thinking to get it right.
Yeah.
So even if I sin in my soul,
mm-hmm.
I'm still never be a
mm-hmm.
sinner again. Never.
Right.
Now, does that mean I sin? Right. The people say, oh, I saw you sin, Angela. Randy, I saw you sin. You're a sinner. I said, no,
mm-hmm.
no. I used to be a sinner because I was lost. And without Jesus, my spirit man was dark. My soul was dark. My mind, my body was dark. But now my spirit man is always righteous. And because he's righteous, I'm no longer a sinner. But I still sin. Yeah, you got it. You caught me. Yeah, I sinned. Right. But I'm still not a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
just like being a liar.
Right.
A person who lies, just because he lies doesn't make him a liar, right? It's only
right.
when you're a liar through and through and you can't tell the truth, that's when you're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
But a person can lie mm-hmm. and still not be a liar. You see what I'm saying? Does that
mm-hmm.
make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. That makes a lot of sense. It was a good, deep conversation.
Yeah, it is. We need to move on
stuff.
Because
mm-hmm.
I get into this. I try to because when I'm telling you stuff, I'm learning myself. I'm learning how to say it better every time I talk about it. That's why I like to talk about it because I learn how to say it better every time. Because I don't say it perfectly
mm-hmm.
right yet. I'm just tonight I've learned how to say it a little bit better just talking to you.
Yeah, I've understood it, and I understand it better because you gave in the. You know, letting us know that the spirit man, he's sealed in heaven. Regardless, if we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he's sealed. So, I said, I didn't know that's what those scriptures meant. So, I'm going to go and read them again myself in John. But, yeah.
First John 3:9.
The Holy Spirit giving you that. First John 3:9.
Uh-huh.
Write that down.
First John. Yeah, First John 3:9.
Okay.
Yeah, not St. John, but First John.
Okay.
First John 3:9, and then First John. First John 1:8. First John 1:8.
Okay.
It says,
mm-hmm.
if we sin, if we call ourselves, so if we say that we don't
okay.
have any sin, we're
yeah.
we're a liar. We're deceiving ourselves.
Right.
But there's difference.
Mm-hmm.
The big difference is here is that I'm no longer a sinner. That's what Kenneth Copeland used to teach. He said, we're no longer sinners. I know you're a sinner saved by, I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, you're an ex-sinner. He was born in sin. He's separated from God. But now you're not separated from God any longer. Your spirit man is always with him because he's seated with him positionally in heavenly places. But your soul does still
mm-hmm.
sin, so we can't say that we don't sin or we'd be a liar. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So being a sinner and sinning are two different things. It's like being a liar. If the judge lines somebody up and he's got two people in the courtroom and one of them is a pure-key liar, everybody knows he's a liar, but his own attorneys, and then you got the other guy, kind of attorney, who's lied about a couple of things to protect himself, and the judge
mm-hmm.
is like going, okay, we're going to find out who's going to go to jail today, and it's going to be the liar. So what are we?
Right.
Why are they sending the liar to prison? Because all he does is lie about everything. But this person who lies once in a while, he's still got a chance. He still hasn't become a liar yet, though he still lies.
Right.
So it's a whole. That's the thing we got to remember is that. If we say we have no sin, we're a liar because our soul still sins. Like, you know, like the guy who's not a liar but he lies. You know, if he said if he stood up in the courtroom and he said I never lied before, Judge, the judge is going, now you turn into a liar, boy. Yeah, you can never say you never lied.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your mama told me you lied a lot when you were a kid. You know, and so I know you're not a liar because
mm-hmm.
I know you do tell the truth. You can tell the truth, but this other boy over here. He can't tell the truth at all. So
right.
you've lied, right? He goes, yes, sir, I have lied. I can't deceive myself, and I can't deceive you, but I'm not a liar. And see, that's the difference that scripture makes is that right there. That's the big thing you have to keep thinking about when you read it is the difference between
mm-hmm.
a liar or being a sinner and sinning or lying once in a while.
Right. On the lie
okay.
being a liar.
Exactly.
Yep.
That's the thing. The guy can't tell the truth. That's why Jesus told him, "You're the father of lies." Remember that? He said,
mm-hmm.
"Your father's a liar, yeah. Your father's the father of lies." And he
mm-hmm.
was telling the difference between
yeah.
being a liar through and through and being and somebody who lies once in a while. He was telling the Pharisees
exactly.
and the religious people, your father is, because he was trying to tell them, though you're Abraham's seed, you're still lost and on your way to hell. That's what he was saying. He's saying basically you are a sinner, and your father is a sinner from the beginning. He's a liar.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Well, thank you so
much.
Right.
What else is going
on? Give me some stuff.
Yeah.
Some stuff that you on.
Great. Yeah, me too. My job is to see it clear so I can give it out clear. Because we need to make it really, really plain to people so that they can go from me saying it to them, you know, to God showing it to them. And sometimes we have to have kind of like, anyway, I just share with the Holy Spirit the way the Holy Spirit explained to me. That made sense to me when he explained it to me about my father, you know, the seed that I came from, that can never change. That's when it convinced me. That's when I opened my mind to, okay, Lord, I guess I could be wrong about that, even though I've preached it 1,000 times probably. You know, okay, my God. And it was really hard to change on that one. That was a really difficult one. But he totally convinced me through and through.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's what he does.
So what's up tonight?
He helps us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm going to call us, but God told me I'm a genius tonight, so I'm happy about that.
You'll be feeling pretty good about that.
I am. I've never been called a genius before, so yeah. I'm sure I write that prophecy down. Lewis said I'm a genius.
Well, this is documented on PGN forever, girl. All right, let's go here. We have the mind of Christ. Let me give that scripture that we can. This will be on the tape. I mean, we have the mind of Christ. All right, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, I'm just going to get it out for documentation purposes so we can let people know about it. Who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Right, so is Christ a genius? Absolutely. So I guess when the more we think like him, the more we become a genius.
Amen. Yeah. He's definitely a genius. Creator of the whole universe. Yeah.
All right, we're going to pray about 16. What's going on. You got anything, any new vitamin things to tell us about? Anything new you've learned about food or anything like that to report on?
Well, I'll tell you, I bought me some alpha lipoic acid. I don't know if you probably already taken it yourself, but it's alpha lipoic acid. I got it the other day, and it's supposed to rejuvenate your cells and it gets rid of free radicals, which is like damage to your neurons, like it's your brain cells and stuff like that, and your overall cells in your body. Just helps to renew your cells. So I've been taking that, and I start mixing my stuff together. I got that from you. Put some cayenne in my drinks and stuff. I was like, this Randy. And you're right, it does give it a kick, because I have this, I call it like a brain juice, I guess. And I add a little cayenne pepper with it and some other stuff I toss in there with it. And, it tastes pretty good. And, you know, it kind of perks me up some. So I'm like, I should have been doing this, adding all my stuff together instead of trying to take it separately. So you gave me that idea. I said, wow, I never thought about tossing everything together. It was a good idea. So that's I've been trying that. But, and some black garlic. I went and bought me some black garlic because of you. I tried taking it a couple years ago, but I just couldn't tolerate it. But what I do, I'll cook with it. I'll put it in my soup or some stewies I made the other day, and I put some black garlic in there. And, got some spices and stuff, and it was really good. And so thanks to Randy, I went back to my black garlic because I couldn't just, you know, just some people, I guess, just eat it. I just can't, you know, too much for me. But if I mix it in something, it's not bad at all, but it's some really good stuff. It's really good for like a super antioxidant, so to speak, because it helps with your eyes, your digestion, your heart. You know, it's like a whatever the regular garlic does, the black garlic's like a double that, you know. Antioxidant. It's kind of like, it's like better than the normal, just the white clove garlic. The black one has more antioxidants and stuff like that in it, and it helps your immune system and all that stuff. But,
I
like I said,
it's better.
Yeah, it's better. So, I mean, garlic is good. Don't get me wrong, regular garlic is good. But
yeah.
The black garlic has more, it has more, it's more stuff in it, it's more to it. I guess it's because it's aged or something, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Why? Because it's been marinated, but what do you call it? Aged? What do you call it? It's been done to it?
It's called aged garlic, but it's called, no, let's see if I can't think of the word.
See, I got it right here. Hang on a second. Let me look at it. It's called
fermentation. Fermented, maybe that's what it is.
Fermented, there you go.
Fermented. Okay. Yeah.
I couldn't think of what it was called.
And I keep it in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fermented.
Thanks to Brandon.
And because it's fermented, that makes it stronger? I did not even put that together.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes, I went and looked it up again because it had been a while because when you brought up that the other night when we were talking, I was like, you know what, maybe I need to go back and look at this black garlic again because, I mean, I know it's good for you, but I just couldn't tolerate the taste. But once I start thinking outside the box, you know, put it in my, you know, if I'm boiling something or soup or whatever, drop a garlic clove in there and, you know, and get it. You don't taste it as strong when you just take it straight. I can't take it straight. But I mix it in something like stew or soup or, you know, even I did it one morning with some grits and it wasn't bad. And I was like, okay, I could take it this way. But
one of the things that you turned me on to was, I'd already been doing it, but I did not realize that cayenne pepper was a brain, broke the brain barrier. I did not even know that.
Yeah.
So,
she says
it's
every part of the body.
Nikki says it's a lot more expensive. Yeah, it is. It is more expensive than garlic. But, you know,
right.
I didn't even know. I didn't even know that it was better, or I would have. I do both. When I do my juice thing that I have, I do both. I put the fermented garlic in there because it's sweet, it's black, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes. I like the taste of it myself. So I put that in there. I put several of them in my deal for juice for like a week, and then all my others are mushroom. But the cayenne pepper, the brain, the fact that it breaks the brain barrier. It passes through it. However you say that. That was new to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It reaches every part of the body, including the brain. That's what it's. I think it's in that prescription for nutritional healing, but it's where I read that. It was doctors that wrote it. But it reaches every part of the body, you know, including the brain. So that's what it was saying about the cayenne pepper. So pretty interesting. I've been adding it to some of my drinks. I never thought about putting the cayenne pepper in a drink or something. I'll just take the capsule and, you know. But, yeah, it does kind of, like you said, it gives you like a kind of perky, kind of perks up the drink and, you know, gives it that extra zing to it. So,
Well, the thing that I think that it does that I finally figured out was that anytime you eat kind of anything hot, what the hot does, it opens up your blood vessels. You know, it's just like, that's why you get a rush off of it, because it's opening up your blood vessels. So I was doing research on everything that opens up my blood vessels, because I'm trying to reach the deep parts of my brain, which I am doing now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what all's going on in there, but I quit doing my brain thing for about, you know, for several days, because I had so much going on and I'd need to stop and make some new, and I didn't do it. And some of it got ruined on me, so I didn't have time and blah, because it takes a little time to make it. So, and I realized, oh, my gosh, I'm feeling like kind of slower than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized, oh, my gosh, I've got to get back to my juice and do my brain thing. I had to quit doing it. And so as soon as I started doing it, within the next, I think the second time I did it, I'm going like, man, I'm thinking clear already. And that showed me even more so that it's working. Yeah, it's really working. So I'm really excited about that, and it's my latest thing. But the thing is, once you get used to this way of thinking, once you get used to, now that I'm getting used to my brain being at a higher level, when you go down to a lower level, it's worse than it was before, as far as it feels worse. Because now I've experienced, you know, the clearer. And now that you go back to just the way it was, I'm not sure if I went back to the way it was or not worse, but, you know, definitely lower.
Yeah, I know
so you
said that arginine, too, right? you take the arginine, right? You also have that in your. That's a real blood vessel opener. The arginine.
What do you
really
call it?
Helps with the flow.
What do you call it?
Arginine.
Arginine.
You know, some of you taking them. Mm-hmm. It's an amino acid.
What's arginine? What's it made? I mean, what?
I think you were taking the macamin you were taking has arginine in it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Macamin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mhm. That's
you,
a real.
You pronounce it different than I do, so I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, but I've been taking that. Yeah, and listen, hang on a second. What did you say you were taking? Some acid that? What was that stuff you said you took?
Alpha-lipoic acid.
Yes. Now what is, where do you get that stuff at? What do you get that? Maybe I've been taking that. I can't remember. I really don't know. What's that in? I mean, what's it? Is it in a vial? Is it in a herb? What is it?
It's, you can get it by itself. It's in a bottle by Natural. It's the one I take. It's by Natural. And, it's antioxidant protection. It helps the body get rid of free radicals. Free radicals is what causes us to age and get fog in the brain and all that kind of stuff. The free radical helps remove free radicals from your body. Called
okay,
alpha-lipoic acid. It's a good brand.
Okay, spell it for
me. A. Mm-hmm. It's A as in apple, L as in Larry, P as in Paul, H as in house, A as in apple, then lipoic, L as in Larry, I as in ice cream, P as in Paul, O as in oxygen, I as in ice cream, C as in cat, and then acid.
C as in
cat. Yeah,
okay.
C as in Charlie.
Okay, alpha-lipoic, P-O-I-C, what?
Mm-hmm. That's it, alpha-lipoic, and then the word acid after that.
Oh, I see, yeah, acid, okay. And now, I don't know if I'm taking that or not, girl.
You probably are.
I don't know. I may be. You probably got it. And everything else. I'm probably ODing on it.
I believe you probably are.
I don't know. I honestly, God, don't know. I'll have to check and see. I got it written down here now. Alpha-lipoic acid. I don't know. I don't know what all it's in. You said you can just buy it by itself, so maybe I need to go see. Why does
it's found in green apples. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's found in, I think, green apples and some type of fruit. But I know green apples. I want to say milk. I'm not mistaken. But let me see if I can see that. But it's a really good antioxidant, and it helps remove, you know, the bad stuff from our cells. It helps rejuvenate our cells. And
oh, wow. Cool, man.
It can help me remember my dream the other night because I took it before I went to bed one night, and I really remember my dream the next morning. So that helped with my brain. I guess
because
every time I don't remember my dreams all the time. But yeah. So I said, you know what? And then I again, thanks to you, I've been mixing stuff together: green tea and cinnamon. I've been drinking that green tea and cinnamon. That's like a pick me, kind of like that. I don't drink coffee, but it kept me alert. And cinnamon, you know, that balances your blood sugar levels. Mm-hmm. I took and mixed cinnamon and green tea together. No sugar, no honey or anything. The cinnamon itself sweetened the green tea up. A lot of people drink green tea by itself. But I said, you know what? I'm gonna mix some cinnamon here. And so that was pretty good too. But I have to want to look at some. Pull it up right quick. I know you got another call you got to take.
I got a what?
I said, I know you got to call it. I'm going to try to pull up alpha-lipoic acid and tell you what it's found in. So I know it's found in fruit, the alpha-lipoic itself. I know green apples were.
Okay, this shows two different words. Alpha and lipoic are two different words. I didn't know that. I didn't search on alpha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you probably told me that, but I didn't write it down right. Let me alpha. Alpha lipoic acid. Okay, gotcha. All right, good. I'm going to look into that and see what does with it. I've probably already taken it, maybe. I don't really know. If I am, I don't know it.
Yeah.
But I have heard that.
Yeah, it's found in red meat. Mm-hmm. It's found in red meat, carrots, beets, spinach, broccoli, and potatoes. It's good for the brain. It says it works like an antioxidant, and it protects the brain. It provides protection to the brain and also be helpful to certain liver diseases.
Quickly absorbed from the gastrointestinal tract. That's what you're saying, right? It quickly absorbs. It is quickly absorbed from the gastrointestinal tract. Wow. So that's what you're saying, that that goes to the brain too, right? Did you say that or am I saying
that? It says protect the brain, and it helps to, like I said, with free radicals and stuff. And it says spinach. You said you had spinach the other day. Spinach, tomatoes, potatoes, but broccoli. That's what it's found in just naturally, but we probably don't get enough with the soil being depleted of minerals and stuff. We don't get enough of what we really need every day anyway, but you want to just make sure you get a good name brand if you do decide to try it, but I use natural myself. That's the brand I like.
Natural
is the name of the company. It's N-A-T-R-O-L. N as in Nancy, A as in Apple, C as in Tom, R as in Rain, O as in Oxygen, L as in Love. Natural. That's the name of the company. They do pretty good with their products, most of them.
All right. I'm going to try that. Man. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Really awesome. Natural.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will do
that. That's the name of the company. Yeah.
Cool. So, anything else that you come up with? Anything you're thinking about?
No, I mean, nothing really on my, I mean, you give me enough to think about tonight and go and reread that and just pray for a friend of mine. She has some eye problems. You pray for her again. I think you prayed for her before, that her eyes would be restored, health-wise, which I told her some stuff to take also, and she's doing that.
Yeah, especially carrots. I mean, beta carrot, is it beta carotene? That's what for you. That, I mean, and you eat it out of a natural source or make juice out of it or something. There's a real battle between people. There's some people that aren't juice people. They just eat the thing. Eat the carrot. Just eat the whole thing, or make juice out of it and eat the pulp and everything. Some people are really for the whole thing. I think that may be right too. But I had a lady call in a few weeks ago and said she was having those little things in her eyeball moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we're going to pray for that, but make sure and just get some carrots. Carrots? I said, I have the same problem. I get those little things moving around my eyes sometimes it's gotten really bad. You know what? I did an experiment. I started eating carrots, and, it went away. So it just tells you that the very thing God made for us to have actually does work. Well, I'm going to get a prescription for that. No, just go down and go to the store, buy you some carrots, and just eat a carrot once in a while, maybe once a day or something.
Right.
And when it starts going away, you're going to find out that God made the medicine that you need. It's what you should have been having already. You might not even have that problem, maybe.
Right. That's true. Yep.
So that's what I'm trying to get people to go back to, is the origin of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't realize, because I'm not a big carrot eater myself, but the little baby carrots, I was just so disappointed to see an article that they are manufactured. They're not even real carrots. I mean, they're carrots, but they're not really beneficial as far as the real carrot. Like, you got to get a real organic carrot or whatever.
Yep.
So I went and bought an organic carrot, and it's really sweeter than the baby carrot. The real carrot is is not a bad tasting carrot. The baby carrot to me tastes bitter. The ones I have. So I was saying, let me go try a real carrot just to see the difference. So there is a difference. You get the real carrots are the longer ones that's not cut like they make those baby carrots. They showed how they do them. And so I was like, oh, my gosh, I thought this was real, So I went and bought the organic, or just the long carrot. And it's actually sweeter. It has a sweetness to it. There's a sweet taste to the carrot.
Wow.
So I didn't mean, yeah. So
that's
I said,
cool.
I didn't buy any more baby carrots. But, yeah, just getting the real deal.
I didn't know that baby carrots were not real. I did not even know that.
Yeah, they did a saying they showed how they're manufactured, how they make them. Not, well, I mean, I guess they're grown in the ground still, I guess, but the taste of them, that's why they're always going bad on them, because the taste of them not that great, but I'm thinking at least I'm getting the carrot. But when you taste the real carrot versus what's the baby carrot, you'll tell the difference. And so the guy's like, y'all think y'all getting real carrots? Y'all think y'all eating these little baby carrots? And I was like, what? Somebody put it on YouTube or something one day. They did a breakdown of it. And I was like, wow, everything we think we're doing good is something, you know, it's always going to be something, I guess. So, but yeah, I just
the
real carrots now.
So we found out tonight that the garlic is, like Nikki said, more expensive, but more powerful. See, I did not even know that. I never did any research on them. I just thought, man, these are cool looking. And I bought me some and tasted them. I thought, I even like the taste of them, you know. And so I just started buying them.
I mean, I paid like $10 for the one I have. It's like a little thick little tube, but it, you know, it lasts probably a good while because I, you know, but it's like $10 when I got. And I just ordered off the internet, free shipping, so I was like $9. I can be able to beat that with black garlic. So, and it's a little clove, it's a little individual clove. So, but yeah.
Right, individual clove. Yeah. Yeah, that's what this is. If you open it up, it's one big black little thing, one little sizable, like a walnut or something, like a small walnut, maybe.
Right.
And it's a bit black and like kind of rubbery tasting, or like rubbery looking, you know.
Yeah,
kind of like a gummy bear. There you go. It's like a gummy bear.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I just thought about that.
Gummy
like
bear.
I'm trying to explain what it is. It's like a black, little black gummy bear. Really, I really like it. So I'm going to have to start doing that.
Yeah.
Nikki says, I eat a lot of garlic, so it's not worth it to me. Yeah, so she eats a lot of garlic, so it's better to get the I think she grows it, too. So to get the black garlic, I think you marinate it or whatever. What was that called?
You can do it yourself.
Yeah, they even teach you how to do it yourself, but I've never done it. But I don't have time. I got too much stuff going on like it is. Awesome. All right, girl. Fermenting. Yeah, thank you, Nikki. Fermenting. Got it. You know, I just started buying it. I didn't even know what it was. I just thought, black garlic? That's got to be awesome, you know? I ate it, and I go, man, I even like the taste of it. So I just kept on buying it. And then I thought, well, you know what? I need to be putting that in my juice, my little juice that I have every day. And I did it, and it's kind of sweet. You know, it kind of sweetens it up a little bit. Like I put green apples in it, four good-sized green apples I put in there. I put a whole pineapple in there. I put in mushrooms. I think I've already said this before, but some oil that Nikki turned me on to that I actually ordered. Thank you, Nikki, for that Paratana. I ordered some of that. I got some sitting right here in front of me. And also put, fish oil in there. I put fish oil in there. And by the time I get through mixing it all up, it tastes sweet, like kind of like applesauce almost. It's like hot applesauce. Like hot applesauce.
Right.
Yeah, and it's
and the cayenne pepper added.
Yes, cayenne pepper, black pepper. I put cayenne pepper in it, black pepper. It gives it, it'll kick it on out, Bubba. I guarantee you that'll knock you on out. And some of that stuff that Angie turned me on to, it's like an oil, but you buy it. It's called black seed. Black seed oil?
Oh, yeah, black.
You know,
current,
are you guys familiar with that?
Black seed oil.
Real blood. I put that in there. A lot of things that Nikki and Angie turned me on to that I bought, I just throw them all into a container, like, capsules and minerals. And I have mushroom powder. I have foci. Foci is called, it's like a Chinese.
It's a hair thing.
It's a hair thing. You got it. You know about that. Okay. I used to have that in my invention. I had an invention years ago that I had foci put in there. But I eat foci powder. I put it all in my drink, mix it all together, make enough for about 6 or 7 days, and then I don't ever give it any air. Anytime I pour some out, I fix it to where there's no air that's in the container. So the container never has any air in it. I always you know, put your word in it. So that way it doesn't grow very fast. That way it keeps it fresher longer. And it has a kick to it. You know, I've had problems with my with tasting sometimes. You know, I've had problems with my lungs. I got I get the flu about 12 years ago or so. And ever since then, my chest, my I've had problems with my lungs. And so every once in a while, it'll make me not be able to taste things. And I hate it when I can't taste food, man, because I love to eat. And so so when I started doing my new drink, now I taste all the time. In fact, I smell so much, it's dangerous, because now I'm starting to smell things I didn't know it smelled that bad. I'm going, oh, God, how come that stinks? It's always stunk. You just couldn't smell it. I'm going like, man, that is cool. What a good thing to find out that something stinks. And it's always been there, but I just couldn't. Now my smell is getting so good, I'm like a hound dog, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you taking some good stuff? I mean, that's what she's saying. Some good ingredients. It inspired me to go back to Black Girl. I'll tell you that. It inspired me to go back and try it again. So that's why I went and did. So thank you.
Yeah,
that.
I also put,
it's got some good benefits.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Really cool. And I've also put Pectisol. It's a Pectisol. It's the stuff I ordered. Supposed to get for yourself, Pectasol, Pectisol. It's a powder.
Mm.
It's for really good, really, really good for you. I also put multi-collagen protein. I put two different kinds of multi-collagen protein in there, which is really, really good for you. I have one in here that has CBD plus collagen plus MCT in it. It's a multi-collagen ultra multi-collagen. I put enough for two helpings in one container of both those collagen. Collagen, really, you know, when I'm taking it, my skin shines, you know, which tells you if it's doing that to the inside of your skin, what's it doing to the inside of your skin? If it's doing that to the outside of your skin, what's it doing to the inside of your skin? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's got to be doing something to the inside of your skin, like the skin of your heart. You know, that's skin, your heart and your skin.
Rejuvenates.
It has to. If it's doing it to your hair,
it is. What's the brand you take? Because they said so much of collagen out here. Some of them I think is, you know, not as good as other ones. But what brand are you taking? Because I've been trying to find a true one that's real.
Yeah, I think this is a good one. I get it from TBN actually. Ancient Nutrition is the brand.
Okay.
The guys that are on Dr. Axe, Ancient Nutrition, and I get the multi-collagen protein, and I also get the multi-collagen ultra, which has the CBD in it, plus collagen, plus MCT, whatever those things are. I don't even know what they are. But they're
that's
both
like
Ancient
oil.
Nutrition. I don't know.
Yeah, MCT,
anyway,
MCT helps like
that.
A fatty chain.
And so every time I ever take in collagen, my skin gets shiny, you know, and my hair gets healthier and shinier. And so I started thinking about that real heavy. I started meditating on that. Okay, if it's making my skin shine on the outside and making my hair do better, what's it doing to other parts, right, which you can't see shining and getting better? So so I started thinking, this, my heart has skin, my liver, my kidneys have skin, right? Your body's skin. Inside, even every organ, I think, is skin. So what's it doing to my skin of my heart? What's it doing to the skin of my kidneys and my liver and all my organs, which are made out of skin? You know, I started thinking about that, and I go, wow. So collagen really rocks with me, and I started getting into it and realizing it wasn't just to make my hair pretty, you know, and I need all the help I can get, I guarantee you. And my skin, you know, better, but it's what it's doing on the inside of me. So
I'm going to use one that – go ahead. That's y'all.
No, absolutely. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm giving you this one little tidbit. You may want to try this, and it's very simple, and it won't cost you probably less than $1 for your hair. Get you an egg, and just put it in your hair. Let it sit for like 20 minutes, and then rinse it out. And you'll be surprised the fullness – of your hair, how fast it's going to grow. A friend of mine, she had real bad problems with her hair. I stopped using shampoos almost 2 months ago because I realized the eggs was all I've been needing all these years. My hair has gotten so much thicker and fuller. It's for any race, doesn't matter what color you are. Take an egg. You're going to crack an egg and just crack it on your head, but don't crack it on your head, but put it in the bowl, you know, and just mix it like you're going to scramble an egg and then just put it on your hair, whether it's dirty, wet, dry, whatever. Put it on your hair, let it set 20 minutes or 30 minutes, rinse it out, and you will be surprised at the results of how thick and full your hair will become just almost instantly. I mean, the first time you use it, you're going to notice a difference. The very first time you do an egg on your hair. Nothing else, no conditioners, no shampoos. I mean, you may want to put something in there to rinse the, maybe just a little light part of your shampoo just to rinse that smell out of it a little bit because it's not really bad once you get in the shower and just rinse it with water, but you'll see a difference in your hair. You're going to notice her hair, my friend's hair.
I'm going to try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and I'm going to try this collagen. You say ancient nutrition. I said, really? This is another product I'm going to have to try to invest in, but yeah, I'll definitely want to try the collagen thing. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, and like I said, it's not just the exterior part, you know, although that's all nice, but it's what I just figured if it's doing that to my skin, everything that has, if it helps your skin, then I started thinking, okay, the inside of my skin, and what are all your blood vessels, girl? They're skin, right? I mean, they're
mm-hmm.
basically made out of skin.
Right.
So if it's helping that,
right.
then I started putting all that together thinking, you know, wow, if it's doing that so easily and so fast, what's it doing to the inside of my skin and all my heart, my blood vessels? It has to be doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, here's the thing that I, Nikki, thank you for that Rise mushroom coffee. I never even heard of that, RYZE mushroom coffee. She's turning me on to this right now, sending me a picture of it. A very good mushroom coffee. Wow, I didn't know there was such a thing as mushroom coffee. 6 different types of mushrooms. Yeah, I take them all. I put just about every mushroom known to man in my drink. And they're pretty bitter, too, so especially the lion's mane mushroom is very, very bitter.
Oh, yeah, I have some
but
of that.
But very, very good for your cells. Go ahead.
Mm. Yeah, I have some of that, actually.
Have some of what?
The lion's mane. It was hard. Like you say, it's very bitter. It's very hard to try to drink. That's probably why I still have it. But, yeah, I have some lion's mane. It's a tough one.
An actual mushroom or a capsule?
It's a powder, lion's mane.
Oh, powder, okay.
It's a powder.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's, I do the mushroom thing. Mushrooms are very good for you. Most people are not aware of the mushroom realm. It is highly powerful. It is a unique plant that is extremely unique in that it's different from other plants, the way it functions and lives and grows and it is awesome. If you check into the mushroom world, you're going to love it. And in the brain realm, I use it, the lion's mane. I actually get a lion's mane mushroom, and I grind it up, you know, like when I do everything else. I put it in my drink. And it is very good for the activity of your cells, for the growth of your cells, that it causes your brain cells to grow. Yeah, and I think... I don't remember what all it does. I have to read it, but
I'm gonna go get
it's
you
tremendously.
Some more
that do what?
I said I better go drink some more of that tonight then. I had to stop drinking
because
it was so bitter.
It's really good for you. I have the pills. I have pills that I buy, and then I buy the actual mushroom. Just like everything, I try to buy the vitamin or the pill bottle, you know, the capsules with what's in it, and then I go buy the food, the real food. The real mushrooms, and plus I have mushroom powder. I have I do everything in capsule form, or whatever, and then I do the food. That's the real food that goes. So I mix it all together and grind it all up and make it into a drink. And I put a whole pineapple in there, like I said, 4 green apples. You know, spinach. I put every kind of spinach. Cilantro, every kind of green thing you can think of. I can buy at the Spanish store right around the corner over here. They got so much green stuff in there. They got green stuff I've never even seen before. So I'm just buying everything, right? Just about everything. You know, I've been buying cactus, man. I'm buying some of their cactus and putting cactus in my drink. And I'm getting everything in there. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I don't know what exactly what's doing it, but something's doing it because I'm on a whole different level of energy.
That's
and everything.
Wow. Now, you just inspired me to try some stuff, so I'm gonna definitely look at this collagen you take, because I see advertisements about collagen all the time. People are saying that, oh, they're glowing. I'm like, I bought some collagen in the past. It wasn't worth 2 cents, seemed like, but this one you're talking about, I'm going to look at that one and see, find out. But I know the multiple collagens, they recommend the multiple collagens together.
Oh.
You can get all three of them together. So
that's
better.
Okay.
That's probably why you're glowing.
Yeah, they're not cheap. Mm-hmm. They're good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I put them in my drink, and I just started, instead of doing them all separately now, as I've told you before, I put all my vitamins, mm-hmm. all my minerals, all my oils, everything like that, and I put it in a drink, man, and just drink it.
Yeah.
And the cayenne pepper makes it hot, tastes like hot applesauce when I get through with it.
Wow.
And it's kind of thick, you know. So it's really, really, really powerful.
That's a good idea. I never thought about putting everything together like that, but that's a good idea. Take it all in once. You ain't missing nothing.
Yeah, unless it tells you to take it separately or something, which I don't know anything that tells you to take things separately, not very much of it. So why not, man?
Right.
Get it all in there and put it in there, and just make sure that when you put it in the refrigerator to refrigerate it, that
mm-hmm.
you don't, that when you pour some out, that you, you know, find a way to get the air out of there.
Right.
Find a way to get the air out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I have ways I could tell mm-hmm. you that I do, but you know, everybody can come up with their own little way. But
okay.
Yeah.
It's a secret.
Anyway. Well, I don't know. It's not a secret.
Well, I'll figure it out.
You want me to tell you? I can tell you. I can tell you.
Sure.
I don't mind telling at all. No, I just think everybody's got better ideas than me. So here's what I do. Like, I have a little jar with a lid, you know, put the lid on it. It's a round jar with a lid on top. It's how many ounces does it have? I don't even know. I'll just say my little trick. I just found this out just a few days ago, how to do this. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you're trying to keep the air out of something, it's really difficult when you got, you know, glass bottles and that kind of thing. So I figured out something here. So this little container is, how many ounces is this? This is 29 fluid ounces. So that's 29 ounces jar with a lid mm-hmm. on it. And so you got to figure that it's about tall, 4 inches wide, and it's a jar with a lid. So I pour my drink in there, right, and I fill it up to the top where it doesn't have any air in it. And then when I go in and I drink some of it, well, I got half of it missing, right? So then I got all this mm-hmm. air inside there. So here's what I start doing. And don't laugh at me. If you dare laugh at me, I promise you, I will get you back.
I'm not going to laugh.
Okay. Okay, don't laugh.
Okay,
well, you can laugh, but just don't laugh too hard. Here's what I do. I get a sandwich bag. See, you're already laughing. Stop it. I'm embarrassed already.
I'm already
seeing it
with the vision.
I haven't even got started yet. My gosh. I don't trust you with this laughing thing anymore. Okay, anyway, you can go to the so what I do is, okay, let's say that jar's now half empty or half full. So
mm-hmm.
I got a lot of air in there, right? So what I did the other day, I thought, oh man, help me, Holy Ghost, how do I do this? Because I don't want to. So I got a sandwich bag, a regular sandwich bag, you know, you put sandwiches in, you know, for your lunch. You probably had your cookies
mm-hmm.
in there. Your mama probably put them in your sandwich bag with it. Your brother got your cookies.
That's a good one.
Okay. I knew I would get you back somehow or another for laughing at me. All right, so I get the sandwich bag, and I fill the sandwich bag up about a quarter, maybe not quite half full of water. and then I put the bag with the water in it down inside the jar. And once you put it down in the jar, it seals it. Where it's not getting any air.
Right.
Right? You just have to do it. Just
mm-hmm.
When I did it and it worked, I couldn't believe it. So I get this sandwich bag halfway full of water, maybe not quite half. I put it in there. Make sure you don't drop it down because you're going to water down your mix. And then you put the sides of the sandwich bag around the side of the jar at the top, and then you take the lid and you put the lid on there and you put it on there nice and tight. And because it's a thin, because it's a real thin sandwich bag, you can put the lid on there, and plus the plastic helps seal the lid where nothing gets in there. So the water in the bag gets in there, and it expands all the way around the edge of the jar, where there's no air getting to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's pretty creative, Randy.
Hey,
that really is. Wow.
Thank you very much.
That's ingenious.
That's genius. Did you tell me I'm a genius? You did not.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
That's interesting. You were determined to keep that air out, and you found a way to do it. That's genius.
I was. I really was. And so now you can do that with anything. You can do it with. I'm going to invent something that will do that very thing. But that's the first thing. I'm an inventor, and I'm kind of giving away my invention, but who cares? You know, I'm just going to be nice tonight and give away one of my inventions. So if you want to do that, if you have bigger containers, then maybe find a bigger sandwich bag. You know, maybe get a freezer bag. And, you know, something that's kind of limber, you want something kind of limber, like the sandwich bag is really limber. So when that water gets in there, it fills up, it goes all the way around the edges of the jar and seals off, you know, the juice where it's not getting any air. And then the rest of the sides of the sandwich bag are on the side of the jar, on the inside. So it seals it all the way. And then you put the sandwich bag, you bring it to the top, and you put the lid on there, and it holds it in there where it doesn't get down and, you know, it doesn't mess up anything. Plus, it seals your jar better. So that's it, Mrs. Laffy.
No, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. I never thought about it, like keeping the air out of something. And it keeps your juice fresh longer, or you say that it keeps your product fresh until you're ready to...
Air always brings death. Air brings death to it. You have to think about that. Air brings death. To a fruit, to a vegetable. Mm-hmm. So when I started realizing the air thing, which is not that taking the air out of something is not a new thing. You go down and you can buy things that suck the air out of things, right? What do you call that?
Like the food processing thing,
Yes, yes, kind of like that. So it's not a new thing, but it's just, so what I do now when I have veggies left over when I make my stuff, I put them in a pretty good little bag, and then I literally, you know, suck the air out of it with my mouth. Suck all the air out of it, where it's just like tight as I can. Then I wrap it up and tighten a knot or do something with it. And believe it or not, it keeps that thing fresh as can be because the air can't get to it.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So it's the same thing as they do with that. Yeah, it really is. Thank you. It's all free, y'all. Mm-hmm. That's free.
Yeah.
So... you can do that with anything. You can get real creative. If you have bigger containers, you can find bigger bags. You know, like bigger. The thinner and more flexible the bag is, like the sandwich bag, is really flimsy, which makes it really good. So when you fill the water, your bag up about a quarter of the way or almost halfway with water, when you put it down in that jar, it just completely seals off the water in the bag, seals off. The juice from getting any air. It's really cool.
Right. That is cool. Yeah. That's really neat. That's a neat idea. I never would have thought of something like that. God gives us all different brains, but yes.
Yeah.
I never heard of trying to keep the, you know, I've seen the process where you have, you know, the meat and the, like I said, the vegetables. There's a little machine you can buy, I guess, at Walmart and stuff and seal it. But I never heard of drinks, trying to seal a drink off. That's different. That's really different.
It's a whole different process, but it's the same basic thing. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when I do my veggies, I don't just put them in the refrigerator, you know, out by themselves anymore. You know, whether it's carrots, you know, I break the carrots in half for them for long, and I put them in a good bag, find me some kind of decent bag, and I suck the air out of it just with my mouth, you know, and tie it off or whatever. And it keeps it sealed, man. It's truly amazing. So everything lasts you longer.
That's a good idea.
And your veggies, and then now my drinks. I figured that out. I figured the drink thing out just a couple of days ago, actually, maybe a week ago. I figured that out that I could do that, because in my mind I kept seeing that. I'm thinking that's crazy. You know, I find that up in Jesus' name. That ain't gonna work. You know. So I thought. Then I started thinking about it. And then I finally got up off my lazy cahoota. And I went over there and did it because the Lord was trying to show me, right? The Lord was trying to show me. So I got off my cahooties, and I went over there and actually did it. And I couldn't believe, Angela, how good it worked better than I thought it would.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you're on your way to something. Some type of invention for the world.
We don't know what it is, but we know it's something. Yeah. He's on his way to
San Jose.
Hey.
Yeah. That's very creative. I never thought that, you know, like I say, it would make your, especially if you're doing everything natural anyway, and it could help preserve that a little longer being in the refrigerator, and it keeps the air out. Like I said, that'll preserve it longer. So you wouldn't want to save money. It'll save you money when you got to throw stuff out because it's spoiled on you.
Exactly. It's spoiled on you.
Especially your Powermade drinks. Yeah. That's
cool, especially Randy. Your drinks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Thank you, Jesus. Genius Jesus.
Yeah.
Gives me those ideas. Okay. Nikki's saying, use a straw. Okay. I'll try that. To suck the air out of the bag. Good idea. Really good idea. I had thought of that, but I think I tried it. I can't remember. Not that it didn't work. I think I tried that on something else. I'm trying to remember what I tried the straw thing on. I can't even remember right now, but that I'll just give that one to you because that's a good one. Suck the air out of the bag with a straw. Okay. I will do that. Yeah. And thanks for the mushroom. Coffee, RYZE, Rise. Where'd you get that at, Rise? Mushroom coffee. My gosh, I didn't know there was such a thing. Cool, man. All right. Okay. Wow, I guess that's it. We've talked about all kinds of things. We talked about the spirit man. We got real spiritual, and then we went right into our bodies and food and stuff like that, which is extremely important, I think, that people need to know about. Then we gave a few ideas, and we got that the alpha lipoic acid thing from you, reminded you that you gave me the idea on the cayenne pepper, which I was not aware of, that penetrated the brain. That gave me some really good ideas on stuff I was doing. I told you I started mixing cinnamon, a capsule of cinnamon, Kylon, C-Y-L-O-N, cinnamon, with a capsule of, you know, cayenne pepper, very hot cayenne pepper. And now here's what happens. It's been happening to me on a pretty regular basis. When I start working out or when I start walking and it's kind of hot, what happens to me, it's just been happening since I've been doing this thing with cinnamon and cayenne pepper, is that that all of a sudden the inside of my body cools off. I mean, it almost like the first time it happened to me, I think I've already talked about this once, maybe twice, that I was at Walmart and I was in there shopping, doing some stuff, and I looked up at the man, is the air conditioning on? It kind of got cool. I mean, not cold, but cool. And I realized it was my skin on the inside. My skin was cool, literally. I mean, real obviously cool, to the point that it got my attention. It kind of scared me for a second. Then I realized, then I stopped and think, no, that really feels kind of good, actually. It felt kind of good. And so today when I was working out, same thing happened. When I go walking around and I start getting, it only happens when I start getting hot. And normally when I get hot, now I get cool. Isn't that awesome? I actually get cool.
Yeah,
so I'm not sweating as much. Yeah, and my body, like it even happened to me tonight. It happened to me twice today. When I got on the treadmill at the gym, you know, I always looking for the air conditioner. Is the air conditioner on? Looking around. I thought, oh, yeah, that's my skin. It's cool on the inside. And then when I walk tonight, you know, when it starts getting when things kick in, whatever kicks in, that all of a sudden here comes this inside cooling system, man. I mean, I've never even heard anybody talk about this before. This is like, it's blowing my mind.
So are you taking the cinnamon and the cayenne, you saying together, or you just take the cinnamon when you work out or something?
No, I just take it whenever I want to. I take the cayenne and cinnamon anytime I want to. I just take it like in the morning. Make sure you got something in your stomach because the cayenne pepper will burn you.
Right.
Especially the stuff that I use. I used to really, I think I used 100,000, what do we call it, units. So make sure that you have a little something in your stomach, like you need some peanut butter or something, and don't want to burn your stomach
up. Yeah, I know.
But cinnamon, a little capsule of Kylon cinnamon, C-Y-L-O-N. I think you can use any kind of cinnamon, but I use Kylon cinnamon because it's the real stuff. And doctors even recommend Kylon, C-E-Y-L-O-N. So use that, one capsule, one capsule of cayenne pepper. And I give credit to you for that because when you said it broke the brain barrier, then I thought, all right, now if I can break the brain barrier with cayenne pepper, then if I add cinnamon to it, this is how my brain works, right? And it's the Lord. If cinnamon does its own thing too. It's pretty. I think you said this one night. Oxygenated, didn't you say that? That cinnamon gives you oxygen or something?
Oxygenate? Yes.
Okay, you said that, yeah.
Yeah, hydrogen peroxide.
There you go. Yeah. So it's see, like I did not know those two things fit together. Yeah. And I give you credit for that because I put the information together and put it to work. But had you not told me that, I would have never even thought about that.
But the same goes for me, Randy. If you brought up black garlic to me again, I probably wouldn't have tried it again. I probably just went on about my life. But when you said you were taking it in your drinks and all this stuff, and I went and looked it up again, looked at the benefits, and I was like, you know what, I need to really try this again.
Oh, good.
You know,
that's so awesome.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know, like something else I learned tonight to recap our talk tonight before I move on. Is that I did not know that black garlic was more potent than regular garlic. That I did not know. That's a brand new one on me, which makes me want to do it more often. You know, I just like eating it. I'll take the clove out, the big clove about the size of a big walnut, and I'll open it up and eat the whole thing because I just love it. But now that I know it's even better for me, my Lord and my God, I'm going to be like, you know, see, I did not know that. So that's a new thing for me, and I'm adding it to my stuff. So you guys, you want to be healthy? You want to be healthy? You want to, call into the show sometime and just listen. Get some. Who knows? We might say something that might change your life. We might say something. Somebody might say something. Whoever's on the show, Nikki, Angie, Angela, and whoever else is on the show, me. We might say something that might literally change your life. I mean, like with me now, see, I'm a sweater. See, let me explain to you. Maybe this might not work for everybody because I get hot on the inside. I'm a sweater. You know, I sweat easy. And so what has been cool about this is, and maybe this is why it works for me and it may not work for everybody else, is that because I usually get hot when I start exercising and I start sweating. Now what's happening is very little sweating, and my skin is cool on the inside of my body, like an air conditioner got turned on. So what's happening? I'm not getting hot and sweaty. I'm not getting overwhelmed with heat because I got an inside cooling system. And what I figured out with that's going on, Angela, is that you brought the cayenne pepper being a brain barrier buster and the cinnamon together with that. And I know cinnamon is powerful. I've done cinnamon a lot before, and you said it had oxygen in it, and I never thought about that. So I put those things together, and what it's done is it's just given me a inside cooling system, you know. And maybe it will do it for everybody. Maybe if you get cold easy, it might warm you up. I don't know. You might try it. If you're a cold person, if you get cold easy, you might try the cayenne pepper and the cinnamon together. Do it together, and then see if it might not keep you. I would like to hear testimony about that. If that truly happens to anybody.
Right. Yeah, now that you say that, because I used to take Capsicool, if I was asking, did you take it before you go work out or anything? Because like what you're saying, and I'm not a person that sweats a lot, but I can testify to what you're saying as far as your body getting cool when you go exert yourself as far as energy or exercising or running or walking or whatever. I took a capsule before I went to work out. And I did a bike ride. I know I must have rode at least, I must say 15 miles without stopping. And this was years ago. But and so I realized I had took one of those, it was cayenne pepper. It was, but it was all in one. It's called Capsicool. But it had three different ingredients. I don't know if cinnamon was in there or not. I can't remember. I know the cayenne pepper was in it. And it was, I want to say fiber and something else. And I took it before I went to work out. And I'm talking about my body stayed cool the whole time. I did not break out of sweat. I rode that bike. Yeah, I rode that bike from the part of Georgia all the way up to the, I want to say the north side of Georgia. It's like a 10 or 15 mile ride, on a bike on a dirt road.
Yeah.
And I did not get tired. I did not feel fatigued. My body was cool. And so, hey, I can testify what you're saying because, yeah, there's something to it when you, you know,
how do you spell
you
that?
Work
how
out
do you spell that? How
it's Capsicu. It's C-A-S. Let me just say right. Capsicu. C-A-S-P-I. C-A-S-P-I. Cool. Like cool weather. C-O-O-L. Capsicu by Nature's Way. That's the name of the company, Nature's Way Capsicu.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anytime you're doing,
I
got to get some more of it.
I want to see what's inside that. I want to see what's inside that ingredient.
Yeah. I know it's three ingredients. I want to say glucamine. I think glucamine and cayenne pepper and something else. I can't remember. I have to look it up. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying when you say you felt coolness. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's why they call it Captain Cool. See, I'm
yeah,
telling you, man.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why. I never thought about it to you.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. This is probably what I realized. I did research on this stuff, and I realized that the brain, see, this is what I thought it kicked in. And I talked about it one night on the show, is that how that my inside body was cool. That never happened to me in my life. So I realized something had gone on. I realized it was cinnamon and cayenne pepper. And that because it says when you do study on the brain, it says the brain regulates, you know, your blood pressure. It regulates whether you get hot or cold. It regulates everything. So if I figured out that my thinking was, without having proof, is that the cinnamon and the cayenne pepper broke the brain barrier, went in there to the brain, and began to, you know, make my cooling system work properly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what I figured out. So I don't know if it's true or not. I have no proof of it.
That's a good
but,
analogy, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Pretty. Mm-hmm. Okay, here it is: plant derived capsule, hypromellose cellulose. Wait a minute, special ingredients. I'm trying to find it. Okay, here it is, right here. Y'all don't mind me doing it. I know we're not prophesying tonight, but we're trying to keep you healthy. Goli, G-O-L-I, ashwagandha, vitamin C gummy, vitamin D gummy, 60 count, mixed berries, KSM 66 vegan, whatever that is, plant-based, non-GMO, gluten-free, and gelatin-free, relax, restore. Okay, so did I do that right? Okay, hang on a second. Okay, I'm trying to get the information out so you guys can have it. Ginger, vegan, capsules, vegan, let's see, diet type, special ingredients. So it's not saying all the ingredients yet. Mixed berries. I don't know. I'm gonna check into that and see. Because you can always make better. You know, if I could take the cinnamon, the cayenne pepper, and add something else to it to make it even work better, then... You know, that's the scientist part of us. You know, we like to make, why not improve it? So I'm going to check into that
mm-hmm.
and see what that does. That's pretty cool.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's it. Okay, yeah, I just looked it up. And, yeah, Capsi says controlled heat, Capsi cool. And it has cayenne pepper, ginger, or glucamine, that's what it was. That's like a fiber. And, yeah, that's it, ginger and, that's what it was, ginger and cap. So, yeah. That's what I used to take. It's by Nature's Way.
Yeah, I got
it
right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, controlling heat. So that's actually what it's for, is to control the heat in your body?
Yeah.
No way.
I guess that's what it says. Capsicum. I guess it's the ginger.
See, that's what I figured
out. You came
out
with your own formula that works. I don't see any cinnamon in this one, but it has the ginger.
Yeah, maybe the same.
No,
ginger's maybe the same effect. Yeah, I may have to try some Capsicool Control Heat Nature's Way. My God, girl, I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah,
that is
I knew Capsicool, but
oh my Lord and my God, y'all! Y'all can tell I'm crazy about this stuff. Y'all can tell I'm like a fanatic. I am. God has really put me into this and told me, you know, I've been in it for years, and I've seen it little here, little there, and then little by little, of course, you know, God began to, you know, speak to me about it, told me he's going to marry or join together the two, the supernatural healing, you know, the Word of God, mm-hmm. and the natural realm, which he provided for us in the beginning. Yeah, so we're going to combine those two and see people not only so they won't get sick, so they won't ever need to be healed. You know, that's the point. That's what we're, right. gonna, we're not trying to have mm-hmm. an EV ministry. We're trying to have a you don't need to get healed ministry because you're already going to be you're going to grow up and you're going to eat all this stuff right, get this stuff in your body. You're going to live healthy. You'll never have to go through a healing right. line. If you do, I hope somebody's there has a strong mm-hmm. anointing. But my point is that why can't we prevent it, do a preventive thing?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, y'all. I mean, I'm really thrilled about this. She's cool. That's what I was just explaining to you. That I was staying cool with this. And you tell me that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been taking this stuff for like 25 years. Thanks a lot for telling me. That is crazy.
Well, I haven't taken that in a year. Stuff. Yeah, I took that years ago. I had stopped taking it. But when you were saying with how you were the cinnamon and the have to cool together and how your body was cool, that brought me back to what that did for me when I took it before I like went to go work out or go exercise and stuff, and I noticed my heart didn't race, it didn't dwell at something when you search yourself with exercise,
really?
And you get that didn't do all that pow, boom, boom, boom. No, it's just calm, like I'm taking a walk, no matter how I exerted myself, my heart rate just stayed calm and never, you know, exerted doing exercise or anything like that. I was like, am I working out? Am I doing anything? My heart is not racing like it normally does.
That's some hot information.
Mm-hmm.
And on the front of the bottle, they have the brand that you're talking about has a picture of a ginger, you know, peppers, you know, red peppers, and
mm-hmm.
what is that other stuff on that top of that front? What is that?
It's
garlic? What is that? I don't know. The little yellow looking things. I'm just looking at the front of the.
Mm-hmm.
bottle picture. That is so awesome.
I see
awesome.
Red peppers.
Huh?
Yellow. I don't have yellow on my box. I see the cayenne pepper and like that ice with it. It's controlled. So, heat.
I'm looking at the front of the bottle in the Nature's Way Capsicool. Controlled heat.
Is it a yellow bottle?
See that? No, it's white. With a purple lid,
okay.
Nature's Way, premium blend.
Oh, that's
blend,
the other one.
Capsicle control, traditionally used for aid digestion and support circulation.
Okay,
my
so
Lord
that's,
and my
that's
God,
a,
get me some of that.
That one I haven't.
Well, I put all that stuff in my drink. So I put in ginger. I have ginger and turmeric. You know, I buy turmeric from the store. Raw, you know,
mm-hmm.
the food, the whatever you call it. And I don't put the cayenne pepper. I might start buying my cayenne pepper, too, the real actual pepper. And listen to this, man. What's been really happening to me since I've been drinking my drink on a regular basis is just exactly what you just said. I feel like my energy level never stops, you know, as far as literally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that I don't get sleepy. I still sleep. I sleep like a baby. I don't have excessive energy. When I want to go to sleep, I can sleep like a baby. You know, and mm-hmm. when I sometimes during the day, I eat a little bit and I get sleepy. I just take me a little nap. If I want to take a nap, if I don't, I get up and run around. But, you know, that's what this stuff does is that it causes you to keep your energy. My energy level is always been good. But it's almost like my energy level now is more pure. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
not anxiety. It's not stress. It's anxiety, stress,
right.
it's not your emotional thing. Sometimes it's because your body's stressing because you're not feeding it the right things. So your body stresses, and it starts, and your body starts crying out, "Hey, Randy, you're starving me. I need some cayenne pepper. I need some ginger here. I'm dying." You know, and it just starts.
Right.
So what it does, literally, is it creates anxiety in your mind. And what it is mm-hmm. your body parts are telling you, you know, hey, man, I'm dying over here. What are you doing? Feed me.
Right.
So I literally think that
right.
that's what anxiety, a lot of anxiety mm-hmm. is. Not all anxiety, but you know what I'm saying? Because your body's crying
sense.
Out.
Mm-hmm.
It's starving to death.
Yeah.
And it says the earth cries out in pain. Why can't your organs cry out in pain? You know, and literally it manifests in your brain like anxiety.
Right. Wow.
And listen to this. Listen to this, man. Mm. I'm putting this stuff together tonight. Thank you, Jesus. You know what happens is when I'm doing all this stuff, you know, I have a lot of pressure on me. I got a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff going on. Well, I can never tell everybody what I got going on. It's going to blow your mind. But with all this stuff going on that I've got going on, my anxiety level is, I mean, amazingly, almost, I don't want to say zero, but pretty close to it. I mean, it's like, because what happens is when you're feeding your body everything it needs, your anxiety level, it's just like, because you're feeding your body, your body's not crying out, feed me, I'm dying. There's no anxiety. When you're dying, you got anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
When the organs in your body are dying, are slowly dying because they're starving to death, believe me, they're crying out. And it ain't like, okay, man, whenever you get ready, I love you up there. Why don't you just feed me something down here? I'll be fine. No, it's going, help me. I'm starving. You know, it's anxiety. And so that is more real to me more today than ever because, you know, I have you know, a lot of stuff going on. And sometimes, you know, the stress gets so heavy, I start feeling it and like I'm going to, you know, I want to quit. I want to give up. And then all of a sudden I go do my drink and do my stuff, and my anxiety level went away, and I couldn't figure out why. Because, you know, my brain needed some help. You got too much going on, Randy. You need to feed me a little extra because I'm using up all the food you gave me, all the minerals you gave me. I used them all up. Get me some more in here. It's crying out. So I go, you know, get a drink, you know, drink my stuff. And I feed my body what it needs. And my body goes, oh, yeah, man. That was
calms down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it calms down and goes, ooh, thank you, Jesus, man. You can. Okay, your anxiety's gone now, Randy. I'm fed.
Yeah,
you know,
a lot of sense. And if you got anxiety and you give your body sugar on top of the anxiety, you like a bad man. Not you. I'm just saying. Now that you're saying it, I know somebody.
Be a maniac.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That your body is really screaming for nutrition. You're thinking it's. It's anxiety, but yet it's your body saying, I know you give me the right stuff. That's why I'm screaming anxiety, because you're not feeding me right.
Yeah, you're starving me.
It's
just like watching one of these shows where they feed children and they take you to this, and when they got the babies crying and they're skinny bones, you know, and and you can see, you know, it's the same thing. It's if you got to think about that's your kidney or that's your liver or that's your brain or that's your blood vessels or that's your heart doing that. And it's saying, oh, man, you know, if you don't hurry up and get me some food here, you're going to have a heart transplant soon or a liver transplant because I'm going to be dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't fight disease like I used to because, you know what, you're not feeding me, taking care of me. Help me. I can't help you if you don't help me. You know, I mean, literally like that. I think it's literally like that. And and yet we think that anxiety that we're having is like some emotional stress that we're having. When most of the time, it's that we're not, our body's not able to handle the stress that we have every day. We have to feed our body what it needs.
Right.
So it can be strong.
Right.
Especially feeding the brain. That's my big thing right now is I'm doing everything. I'm learning. I'm doing scientific work on what I call scientific work. It's not real scientific work, but my view of scientific work is on the brain. And I'm working everything right now. God is helping me. To how to get the brain activated 100%. That's what my goal is.
Amen.
And I believe I'm going to accomplish
I see what you're saying with it. Right. Are you on it? I see the caps is cool what you're looking at. The yellow. The yellow is the ginger. That's the ginger and the cayenne pepper. I see that one you're looking
What's
at,
that?
The purple one, the white. Yeah.
Right.
What's that yellow? Yeah, it's the same point. They changed the bottom.
Like,
okay.
What's that yellow stuff on the left hand side by the pepper?
Mm-hmm, that's the ginger. It's like the ginger or the fiber I was telling you about, the glucomon. How do you pronounce it? Glucomon. But yeah, it's either going to be the ginger, and that's the ginger right there. So that must be the glucomon,
not,
the fiber that's in it.
The ginger is that golden, that brownish golden stuff. That's ginger, right? That
right,
yellow
that's
stuff
ginger.
On the left corner. Yeah, the yellow
that's
stuff is
the
not
fiber.
Ginger. Okay, that's the fiber. Okay. Awesome. So I'm gonna check into that. All right. I think we've pretty well done that tonight. A new report on the brain stuff and all that. Very, very important. Please listen. Please pay attention. Because what we're in to do is not just trying to make you healthy and stop you from eating the stuff you want to eat. I'm not even into that. I'm into getting your body what it needs so it won't cry out for stuff. When it quits crying out, you're gonna wake up one morning and think, oh, man, all those cravings I had. Now I eat it, but I don't have to crave it. I can eat it because I want to. I don't eat it because I have to. You know, like it's something in me is crying out to make me feel better. So you go eat something to make you feel better, and yet it doesn't make you feel better. So it's fake food, and fake food doesn't nurture you, so you're not nurtured, and your body's having anxiety because it's dying. You're killing it, basically. It's dying on you faster than it's supposed to. So we're here to help you get your brain going. Number one, the number one thing is, if listen to this, Angela, this is what God has shown me. If you focus on feeding your brain what it needs, you'll end up feeding your body everything it needs.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like your brain needs everything. In other words, the same food that we're talking about for all of our body parts and all the things of the cayenne pepper, the ginger, the greens that we eat, all this stuff, all that stuff to not just feed your body, but it's to get your brain fed. And when your brain is fed, then it will send all the electrodes to your body saying, you know, like it'll help your body change over from eating bad stuff into wanting good stuff. Because you're doing it from the root problem, and that's in your brain. I think our brain gets addicted to things, and we think it's our leg or our body or our stomach, but really it's our brain. And when we get our brain fed right, to focus on feeding the brain, then your brain will deactivate and go to work and take control of your stomach issue, your heart issues, your liver issue, your kidney, because your brain runs everything, right? That's the throne room, really.
Yep, it does.
So if you focus on getting the brain going on, which is what God led me to do, then everything else is going to function. You're even going to know what to eat without even reading a book. You're just going to wake up one morning and go, man, I need to get some ginger in my body. You're like, where'd that come from? But it comes from the way God made us. You know, Adam named all the animals because he did it instinctively. So your body is made to know what it needs instinctively, because God made you to crave the things that you need. Instead, we feed it all these fake things, and it wakes up craving. We think it's craving the wrong. So we keep eating the wrong thing. When we start feeding our body, get our body healthy, your brain's going to start saying, no, that's not ice cream you need. That's ginger. No, ginger. G.
Right.
Not I for ice cream. G for ginger. Get that in your body. Your brain will start, it's the command center. It's going to start commanding you and talking to you. It's called a renewed mind in a different way, a renewed mind. And so your renewed mind is going to start going, your brain already knows. Listen to this, man. Your brain already knows everything you need. It already knows. Mm-hmm. That's why we got to activate the brain, because the brain will tell you. It'll write the name out for you in your sleep. Eat this tomorrow. Because your brain's going to be talking to you. Your brain's going to take command and start telling you the way God made it, and it will tell you. You don't even have to read it in the book. It'll just come to you in a dream. It'll come to you in your thoughts. And you'll wake up going, you'll wake up craving a certain kind of food, and that's because your brain is going, if you'll feed us this, we'll be better.
I've done that, so I know exactly what you're saying. That's so true. Sometimes I go to bed at night thinking, when I'm going to have a breakfast morning, my body will be like, oh, this is what you need, some eggs, some grits today. Don't skip breakfast tomorrow. You need to eat this or that, like cook a complete breakfast or have a piece of fruit with it or something. So I know what you're saying about that. So that happens sometimes to me. Especially when I'm feeling tired or run down and not been eating like I should. Like you said, I'll get a thought or a vision about, okay, we need to have this for breakfast in the morning. No, skip breakfast in the morning. So,
what do you have for breakfast? What's your breakfast? Yeah. Grits? What are grits? I don't even know what grits
for
are.
Me?
I mean, I've heard of them.
Oh, you don't have grits, Randy? It's a Southern thing. Yeah, grits. Grits is like it's made from corn. It's like, I don't say porridge, but... Yeah, it's just a Southern thing. Grits and eggs, or grits and bacon, or grits and You put it with anything, tuna, or yeah, it's like a, I don't want to say, it's not a port.
Oh, she just hung herself up. All right, y'all. I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. I know we've talked about a bunch of different things. So it's midnight, and Angela just hung herself up, or maybe her phone just went off at 12 o'clock for some reason. I don't know. But if you want to talk, get your hand up. We can share for a minute. We got a little bit here. I'm really, you know, whatever. Anybody's even still listening? You got anything you want to share, open up, talk about, teach us? Teach us the ways of God. Teach us what's going on. The things that, in whatever area. All right. Somebody raise their hand pretty quick. I'm going to call it a night. It's been a great night. I mean, every night's different. We never know what we're going to get into. So, you know, let God, you know, help you interpret what we say. Don't misinterpret what we say. What God's using me to say, don't misinterpret it. Try not to misinterpret it, because I know how that can happen with everybody. We can be and misinterpret things. So try to ask God to help you interpret what's being said and not take it wrong or look at it wrong. You know, it's easy to do. Most people, you know, we all have issues with that at that time. So ask God to help you interpret or see things. Interpretation is seeing things the way they really are. And when you do, you won't misinterpret them, which means you'll get the right understanding. It'll be amazing. All right, y'all, I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. Learned a lot. It's been a great night. That cool thing that Angela turned me on to, Capsicool controlled heat, I did not even know that that was a thing, man. That just tells me that I got into something and didn't know what I was getting into. You know what I'm saying? Capsicool. It even says controlled heat on the bottle. The body of the bottle. Wow, that is mind-boggling. Man, you know, look at there, how God led me. I didn't even know what I was doing. I just put information together, and God gave me the grace, and then woke up one day, and I'm out to run around shopping, get hot in there, and all of a sudden, my body kicks in and starts turning on the air conditioner on the inside. It was mind-boggling. It was shocking. It was so obvious something was going on. I know I repeat myself a lot, but I want to make sure you guys get it. And sometimes I repeat it because I'm chewing the cud, but I'm hoping God will give me a little bit more information. All right, y'all, I'm going to call it a night tonight. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow.